and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Why don't they talk about the issues?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Yay! It's Monday. Good morning, geniuses. What's going on out there? I missed you all. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning.
I missed you, too, but I actually saw you on Saturday, which is unusual.
Yes.
Because we went to Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman of New Jersey's party in Brooklyn, and actually met the world-famous Lewis
and Linda Pashman.
Wow, what an experience that was. I got their autographs. Did you?
No.
Yeah.
Can I borrow your copy?
Sure. The weird thing was is they were completely surprised how much we liked their son.
Oh, yeah.
That was the shock on Linda's face. Like, we really think it's wonderful that so many people find him necessary.
Yeah, right?
And we got some Pashman stories. And I talked to Louis Pashman, who told me he was also in the National Guard.
Yeah.
And was a chef. You know, he's an attorney, but
he had already graduated law school.
Yeah.
But they made him a chef, and when they found out he was a lawyer, they said, we're going to keep you a chef because we're not going to admit we made a mistake.
And the best part of that story was when Linda Pashman says, well, he was a cook. Like, you know, drew the line. He's like, it's a cook. He's a chef. But it was a nice party, and everyone came down. Brendan PW came down with the woman who PW'd him. And Larson, Smarty Pants Larson, was there with his wife.
Who introduced herself as Mrs. Smarty Pants.
Nice.
Yeah.
I, of course, went right up to her and said, do you still like me? Are we cool? Because I had the fear that at this point in our radio careers that Larson had to be going home after each day going, I don't know how much more of this I can do. You know, Marin is driving me nuts. I don't want to wake up in the morning. I don't know what he's going to yell about or what the problem is or whether it has anything to do with me. Kayla came with his girlfriend. It's very nice.
And you know what today is, don't you?
It's Kayla's birthday.
That's right. Christmas, we don't know what his age is because he's timeless.
Yeah, exactly. Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, you're doing a great job here. I almost got him into trouble the other day.
Really?
At the party. You know, you went to get drinks for you and your girl there.
What'd you do?
And I just basically said, is he difficult? Are you fighting all the time? And I was just kidding. I was just kidding. He goes, why? She says, why? Is he saying something? I'm like, no. I was making conversation.
Opening his big fat mouth.
She basically said that you're difficult, Chris. And I said, you don't have to tell me. I almost got hit by a chair a couple months ago. I got a chair flying across the room when something didn't work. But right. That was the old days. Things are changed now.
That's right.
Finally, somebody has stepped up. Yeah, we'll talk about the issues in a minute. But, you know, it's been a busy weekend for all of us.
That's right.
I worked at the cellar all weekend. I forgot to tell the people that. But, you know, I don't know. I forget to tell people stuff. I might as well tell them. I'm going to be on Tough Crowd tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not that prepared yet, but I'll pull it all together. I had an argument with Nick DiPaolo, who's a regular on Tough Crowd at the cellar, and the woman who owns the cellar, who's Israeli and... she actually said to me, I don't understand, you're so intelligent. Why, how come you're so stupid when it comes to politics? And then she gets mad at me for having a political conversation with her. She's like, I'm eating. I'm like, don't start with me. Don't start with me. Just call me stupid. You know, and then I'm arguing with Nick, and these guys, like, they're better at me than to not let it get personal, because I assume any argument is personal. I don't care what you're talking about with me. Any argument is personal, you know, and I'm going off and I'm, you know, laying out the facts, and he's like, you know, I think we should get rid of all Muslims, you know, if there's another problem, you know, just get them all out and then we'll sort it out later. Get all of them out of the country and then we'll see, you know, he's half serious, but there is that mindset, you know, and then I started,
tell him to move to Russia. They do that kind of thing in Russia. They don't do it here.
But it's interesting how people who are reacting like this are so willing to sacrifice democracy and not, you know, fight.
As long as it's not theirs.
Right. Well, it is ours.
I mean, as long as it's not their rights that are being messed with.
Exactly. But, you know, we had this big long argument. I'm laying out the facts. And he got mad at me for being well-informed. He's like, oh, so you got a radio job. Now you're well-informed? I'm like, that's a good thing, Nick. It was almost like, you're not playing fair, because you have to know this stuff for your job, and you're coming at me with facts. I don't need it, you know?
Yeah, right.
But, and then I, of course, after this long argument, I got everyone all worked up, and I'm like, you know, I felt like I'm never going to be able to work here again. Nick doesn't like me anymore. And they're like, no, I'm not taking it personally. And she didn't take it personally. And I went home, of course, took it personally.
But you'd be surprised how many people in this business really don't take the arguments that they have. A lot of the conservative talk show hosts don't take the arguments personally. I mean, even personal attacks, they don't take personally. They don't. Because they're too busy counting their money.
I remember arguments to this day from when I was in high school and college that people have had with me where I insisted, you know, I remember them and I take them very personally. I still resent the people that I had the argument with. And not so much about, even though we may still be friends, it sticks in my craw. and if I were really to analyze it, it's because that I'm supporting a position in the argument that may be questionable. You know, it may be wrong, you know, but there are certain arguments that I still remember that just eat at me. Like one time, it makes no sense. You know, one time some guy said to me, I went to a party when I was just in college, and it was the first time I went to like one of these sort of arty kind of like hipster parties as an arty hipster person. they're talking about music, and I just said, you know, no one's ever going to be as good as Buddy Holly. You know, and some guy looks at me and goes, you're a fascist. And I still don't know what the hell he meant. But the truth of the matter is I'm still, like, I'll work it through my brain. It's like, how is it? And, of course, that the guy who said it to me was wearing horn-rimmed glasses and a secondhand jacket. And I'm like, well, who's wearing the uniform?
Yeah.
You know, the Buddy Holly uniform.
Here's the thing about arguments. Mm. Have you ever tried to argue a position that you knew ahead of time you didn't agree with and you just wanted to have the argument for the hell of it?
Yes. The devil's advocate, you mean? Is that what
not
they call
really.
It?
Not really. Just to mess with somebody.
Yeah, I do.
If it's with people that you don't really know that well, and they say, somebody says, you just take a completely opposite position, not because you believe it, not because you want to play devil's advocate, but because you just want to mess with the guy.
Yeah. No, you get people worked up. People like to do that with me because I'm easily work upable.
Uh-huh.
You know? But with Nick, it was weird. I'm very amazed after doing the show for so long and actually reading as much as I have been about stuff, how innately I will change the subject if I don't know something. How smoothly I can just move, you know, like he comes at me with like, well, what's Kerry's record? What has he ever done in Senate? And I didn't have it in the fingertips in my head. Mm-hmm. So I just sort of said, well, what Bush is what, you know, I immediately just shifted focus and moved the argument somewhere else.
It's called the art of the segue, man.
Exactly.
And it works well. Speaking of which.
Yeah, let me just quickly turn this out because I want to do this. Thank you so much for the cat toy package and the cat bed package, Chris. I really appreciate it. And also, I got some other help with the cats, but I have some stuff about, you know, all these people that say they help cats and that they're going to help me with my cats. The only one person showed up, and it took me a long time to get hold of somebody that would help me. It's interesting, with as many stray cats as there are and as many stray people as there are helping stray cats, how many of them are really willing to step up. But that was a nice box of toys, and I'll give more update later. Because, okay, let's, you know.
Why don't they talk about the issue?
All right, let's do it, Riley.
Well, the issues.
Yes.
Let's start with national security.
Iraq, you mean?
Or Iraq, national security, war on terror. Because it's all, Bush lumps them all together.
So does Rumsfeld, accidentally.
Accidentally,
quote,
yeah.
Supposedly, accidentally.
But I mean, this is supposed to be his strong suit. The war on terror, national security, Iraq, the whole nine yards. But Iraq is spiraling completely out of control.
Can I just throw a number out there? The Defense Department.
The Defense Department.
The Defense Department counted 87 attacks per day on U.S. forces in Iraq, the worst monthly average since Bush's flight-suited visit to the USS Abraham Lincoln in May 2003. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's unbelievable. There are at least 110 people, and this is at latest count, dead across Iraq, including 37 in Baghdad, 51 in Tal Afar, which is near the Syrian border. They dragged out, and we had to talk about this before we went on the air, about how Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell have been taken out of cold storage for the Sunday talk shows.
They mix them up. It's a three-card Monte game, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, let's give Cheney a rest, and let's move Powell and Condoleezza Rice into play.
Who's got the red? Who's got the black?
Yeah, it's like, there's just like this triple punch, you know, this round of talking points given by different talking heads. So you never know who really says anything and what's really being said, but you can pretty much assume that it's BS.
Well, you know, they come out over the weekend,
yeah,
and they say with a straight face, that these elections they're planning on in Iraq will, in fact, take place in January. Now, everybody else, from Kofi and on down, is saying, you know, you don't control enough of Iraq to say that you can hold elections in January.
Well, that's perfect for them, because the people that will actually make it out to vote, you know, is going to be non-representational of the bulk of Iraq.
Yeah.
And, you know, and most people are going to be too frightened to vote, so they're going to base their elections on about 100 people that are probably on the dole of the government.
Or they're keeping this line until November 2nd here.
Mm-hmm.
And then if Bush wins, then they'll postpone the elections after January.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, here's the scary thing is the number of gunshot casualties apparently took a huge jump in August. And, you know, and before that was mostly explosive devices and shrapnel. Now, right. Apparently, this according to a Newsweek article that I'm reading titled It's Worse Than You Think.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting article by Scott Johnson and Babek Degantache, who I think we had on the phone once. I remember we tried to call many times. And
yeah,
we have talked about it before. But what this is indicative of is what they're calling a phase two insurgency. Phase two insurgency is where sudden ambushes are the rule. Phase one is the recruitment phase, apparently, in insurgencies, and most actions are confined to sabotage. And bullet wounds, which is what they're seeing more of, would mean that the insurgents are standing and fighting, which is a step up to the phase three insurgency. So what I'm saying, Mark Riley, is that the insurgency is gaining a foothold. They're getting stronger.
They're getting stronger, and it's not going to be helped. The U.S. cause is not going to be helped by this helicopter strike at this Bradley fighting vehicle. And they're not sure how many Iraqis were killed. They had apparently surrounded the vehicle. They were throwing stones on it. These helicopters swoop in and start shooting. And that's what recruits people to the insurgency faster than anything else.
So that it's not even an intentional commercial. Any action taken against a civilian video. We'll talk more about it when we come back in a second on Air America Radio.
Did you know there's a delicious energy bar that is certified organic? It's called Cliff Bar, with the rock climber on the package. Cliff Bars are made with whole grains and real fruit, and they don't contain trans fats or hydrogenated oils. Cliff Bar, the company, belongs to a growing community of people and companies dedicated to leaving a lighter footprint on the planet. Visit cliffbar.com and learn about this small group of people working to create a better energy bar and a more healthful environment.
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book, now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good! Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Alcohol. It's a tough topic for parents and kids to talk about. Sometimes you'd rather say nothing, but that's no solution. If you're a parent, talk to your children about alcohol and what you expect of them. Then listen to what they have to say. And be sure to use alcohol responsibly yourself. Good parenting is the best defense against underage drinking. Use it. To find out more, contact the National Clearinghouse for Alcohol and Drug Information at 800-729-6686. Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
It's Monday. It's 21 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're talking about Iraq. I got some interesting, listen to this. This is I've got to figure out a way to segue. Andrew Krepenevich, the author of the highly respected study, The Army in Vietnam, says, in Iraq, what we see is a classic progression. What we also see is that the U.S. military is not trained or organized to fight insurgencies. That was a deliberate choice after Vietnam. Now we look to be paying the price. It's very interesting that because of the confidence that Donald Rumsfeld had and Wolfowitz had and everybody but Powell had within this administration in high-tech weaponry,
yes,
and not using troops, not listening to Shinseki, about you putting a strong presence on the ground to deal with this up front has completely backfired. And now you have a bunch of soldiers down there that have no power to deal with insurgencies on a strategic level because they never thought they were going to fight this type of war again.
Yeah, and General Shinseki, of course, was the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who told Rumsfeld and the Defense Department that at least 300,000 troops would be needed to fight the war and to deal with the aftermath of the war in Iraq. And what do we have there now? About 140,000 troops, half of what he said.
And Bergen, Peter Bergen, the author of Holy War Incorporated, said when we talked to him on Friday that what you're seeing now is that even if people aren't with the insurgency, even if they're not even nationalists who are fighting, if they're just kids, you know, in their teens or in their early 20s, they hold America responsible for creating the chaos that's there, for destabilizing their country, and they are not adverse to getting involved on some level in terms of, like, you know, taking a couple of pop shots at soldiers. And so what you've created there is you've created more, not just Muslim anger, but Arab anger and Arab destitution and Arab, chaos within the structure of the cities there.
Well, yeah, and it is throughout these cities that the violence is taking place, whether we're talking about Fallujah, whether we're talking about Tal Afar, whether we're talking about Baghdad, we're talking about population centers where there are, as you point out, these groups of young people who had the aftermath of the war and the rebuilding been handled differently, might well have been able, had their families had electricity, had they had access to jobs,
mm-hmm.
Had they been able to practice their religion freely,
mm-hmm.
maybe they would have been able to, certainly the United States would have been seen very differently, but none of that's happened.
Yeah, and also we have to bring this back around to the truth. What we're really talking about is this administration's mistake. The mistake is that as Colin Powell said, as Rumsfeld was talking about, and as Condoleezza Rice, you know, made clear, maybe not Powell, but Rice certainly in a statement the other day, is that bin Laden is still at large. You know, Zawahiri, you know, gave basically a televised statement last week, you know, 2 days before 9/11. Afghanistan, though better than it was under the Taliban, as Peter Bergen says, and he is a reporter who has been there, he says that things have turned around and have begun to settle down, but there are regions of the country that are not out of control, but under the control of warlords, opium growers, some Taliban factions.
Yes.
You know, and also the border area between Afghanistan and Pakistan, still a no man's land. And although Condoleezza Rice says that Pakistani intelligence and the Pakistani military is starting to help in the search for bin Laden, he's still at large. The choice to go to Iraq is still a tremendous, you know, question among people in the military, among people, you know, who are military strategists, and also certainly now that it's completely out of control and it was based on a lie. It really comes into question that the leadership that this administration has provided for this country and the decisions they've made have been way off and completely antithetical to progress in the region.
Well, what we have now, Mark, are small groups, small cells of people, insurgents who are willing to fight a hit-and-run battle with the Americans because they know that that's the best way for them to inflict the maximum amount of damage. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who's the head of the Tawhid and Jihad group, claimed responsibility for this rash of fighting that's going on, this new wave of violence going on through Iraq, and he directly threatened the Prime Minister, Iyad Alawi, telling him to expect, quoting here, the angel of death. Now, you're talking, of course, about people who are looking at this entire conflict through glasses that are very different, I think, than the American military, the American government, or most, you know, average Americans. This has a very different, there's very different strategic goals that a guy like Zarqawi has here. Now, this is not the Zarqawi, the Egyptian, Zawahiri, rather, the Egyptian doctor.
Zawahiri is like bin Laden's Goebbels.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's up in the caves.
Yeah.
Zarqawi is the man on the ground in Iraq. He's been there for years.
Yeah, he's Jordanian.
Wanted in Jordania. In
Jordan.
Wanted in Jordan for what was, embezzlement. Yeah.
Yeah.
For embezzlement, and now he's been operating out of Iraq for, you know, almost a year at least.
Mm-hmm. And he is claiming responsibility for this violence. He is threatening the prime minister of the country. He also claimed responsibility for an attack that wounded three at the notorious Abu Ghraib prison.
That was just the other day, right?
Yeah. Now,
there's been a lot of attacks going on.
Yeah, there have been, an extraordinary number of attacks going on. And the Zarqawi is claiming credit for all of this. This seems to be his work, at least in terms of, public statements about it. And, again, it is fighting a kind of guerrilla warfare that it seems the American troops and the Iraqi forces that the American troops are supposed to be sponsoring are ill-prepared to fight. The Iraqis seem to want no part of fighting other Iraqis, and this is something that the government told us was going to change.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while because of, let me just clear something up. Zarqawi is wanted for murder. I was right, and Larson, Smarty Pants Larson in my head, was wrong. wrong. Mr. Facts was wrong.
He was talking about Shalabi was the one that was wanted for embezzlement in Jordan.
But he was still wrong. Jonathan Larson was wrong in my head. Anyways, let's not...
Are we giving a party?
I don't want to detract from the truth, from what we're talking about. Yes, there's still an issue of these guys, the Iraqis, who are being trained to manage the cities, and I still think it has to do with the fact that they don't, when the Americans leave, they're still Iraqis, and they're still going to have to deal with this, and there's such a division of opinion within the Iraq world, not even the Muslim Iraq world, but just regular Iraqis about the American presence, which is causing this.
Well, the Americans cut-and-paste approach to the aftermath of the war is now really coming back to haunt us.
And Bush, they had an opportunity to catch this guy three times and didn't. We'll talk about that.
And the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and so much more when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Gerk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-581-4641. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-581-4641. 1-800-581-4641.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. U.S. fighter planes attacked a suspected insurgent hideout in the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah on Monday, killing at least 16 people and wounding 12. The ban on assault weapons signed by President Clinton 10 years ago expires at midnight tonight. That has gun owners very happy and critics very upset. The end of the ban on assault weapons comes as crime rates in the U.S. remained at their lowest levels in 30 years during 2003. Those figures from the Department of Justice on Sunday. John Kerry will be unveiling a $5 billion plan to fight crime today while blasting President Bush for refusing to push for an extension of the ban on assault weapons. President Bush is highlighting his health care agenda today as he rides his campaign bus through Michigan. And Hurricane Ivan is bearing down on western Cuba. It may spare the Florida Keys, but may make a landfall in the Florida Panhandle by Wednesday or Thursday, May being the operative word. Air America Radio News.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
And it's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Boat, summer, water, fun.
Boy, we're prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good. Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. It's gone up again. No, I'm not talking lottery jackpot. I'm talking gas prices. But don't despair. When I come back, I'll tell you how to fill up your tank without emptying your wallet. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. If filling your tanks draining your funds, increase your odds for better gas mileage by following the Lotto principle. L-O-T-T-O. L, less weight, means better gas mileage. So don't use your trunk as storage space. O, observe speed limits, because increasing speed from 55 to 75 decreases MPG 25%. T, turn off engine if idling more than 1 minute. T, travel when traffic's lightest to avoid stop-and-go driving. And O, operate vehicles at peak efficiency by flushing cooling systems every 2 years, which will also help avoid repairs. Jackpot! I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Lives here.
33 past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley. Morning's Edition, laying it down about Iraq here on Air America Radio.
That's right.
We're going to talk about Zarqawi in a minute. We're going to talk about Rumsfeld. We're going to talk about this insistence that there's a connection between Iraq and terrorism pre-9/11, pre-war in Iraq. And remember that all the bad decisions that this administration makes, our troops are paying for it. Here's a presidential palm pilot. This is for today. Ramon, looks like he swept here. But I don't know how he's getting this if he's hanging out here. I don't know what's going on here on the weekends. Here it is, 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up, stay on message. If Kerry wins, there will be more terrorist attacks and hurricanes. 11 a.m., fly to Muskegon, Michigan. Participate in a Focus on Health with President Bush event. Make sure it focuses on health and not health care policies. 11:30 a.m. Wrap up Focus on Health with 5-minute presidential workout. Strip down to red, white, and blue spandex shorts and presidential seal t-shirt. 1:20 p.m. Speak at rally in Holland, Michigan. Compliment the locals on their wooden shoes, windmills, and colorful tulips. 4:35 p.m. Speak at rally, Battle Creek, Michigan. Be sure to tell voters they're great. 6 o'clock p.m. While in Battle Creek, request closed-door meeting with Captain Crunch to discuss military policy. 10 o'clock p.m. Back in Washington, lights out, dream of headline reading. Quote, Dan Rather admits 9/11 commission report was also forged. End quote. I want to get into that forgery. I'm not going to pay them any lip service.
No.
We're staying on point here, which is the bottom line is June 2002. U.S. intelligence reveals Zarqawi and members of Al-Qaeda have set up a weapons lab in northern Iraq producing deadly ricin and cyanide. The Pentagon draws up an attack plan. The White House sits on it, and it's never approved. October 2002, U.S. intelligence shows Zarqawi planning to use ricin in terrorist attacks in Europe. The Pentagon draws up a second strike plan, and the White House again kills it. January 2003, police in London arrest 6 terrorist suspects and discover a ricin lab connected to the camp in Iraq. Pentagon Pentagon draws up still another attack plan, and for the third time, the White House kills it. March 2003, U.S. attacks Zarqawi camp after Iraq invasion, but it's too late. Zarqawi is gone. Now, why is this important, Mark Riley? Because they let him live in order to maintain that there was a connection between Iraq and terrorists. And this is something that they've been hitting for the last, 2 years now to justify the attack on Iraq, given that there's no weapons of mass destruction there. The insistence that Iraq was a terrorist-connected state, which now it is, clearly, because they believe, they've opened up a doorway to create, plenty of room for terrorists to operate.
Well, you've put your finger on it before. They've created a terrorist incubator.
Yeah.
But the fact is, with this many shots at Zarqawi, you have to ask yourself exactly what, whose water was America carrying in killing two requests and then raiding a camp that he was gone by the time they got there. I mean, this is, bottom line, Mark, incredible ineptitude as far as policy is concerned. I mean, how do you explain this?
Right, ineptitude or really decided that they...
Or deceit.
It's like how... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's
out and out deceit.
Right. It's how they're always they blame Clinton for letting, for letting bin Laden get away after he took a shot at him, but he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, clearly, these guys, even, I'm not being pro-Bush by any means, but they're a little more strategic and a little more cunning than anyone would let on. But the fact that they missed all these opportunities or that they didn't take these opportunities is definitely suspect. And then Rumsfeld gets on TV still trying to mesh Iraq and terrorism in what I think was not a slip.
Well, Rumsfeld is an incredible character because they carted him out along with Powell and Rice this week, sort of. Rumsfeld, you may remember some time ago, said that the fighters, the insurgents in Iraq were little more than, quote, dead-enders, unquote, numbering no more than 5,000. Now, people in his same Department of Defense are estimating that the insurgents number more than 20,000.
That's a number we had, 3 or 4 months ago?
Months ago, absolutely. Now, he says that it's tougher for bin Laden and his allies to ply their terrorist trade around the world. I don't know where he gets that from. Osama, at the same time, of course, remains on the lam. Yet exactly who is Donald Rumsfeld talking about? Is he talking about Saddam Hussein, or is he talking about Osama bin Laden? Let's hear him.
It's harder for them to do everything. Saddam Hussein, if he's alive, is spending a whale of a lot of time trying to not get caught. And we've not seen him on a video since 2001. Now, he's got to be busy. Why is he busy? It's because of the pressure that's being put on him.
Now, who exactly was he talking about?
Did he do that? Did he mention this group? Did I just space
he
out?
He said Saddam Hussein, okay. If he's still alive. See, Saddam Hussein's in custody.
It's so weird. I heard that soundbite 2 times before we went on air, and I'm just listening to him, and I was just thinking about, all I was thinking about was his tone of voice. But the thing about this whole thing is this is the same, it's not a confused message. This is the message they've been trying to get out there for the last 2 years. I mean, Cheney said it. They keep connecting Saddam and terrorism, and he just did it. That's why I think it's more than just a slip. It's a message, that they want to keep pounding into the unconscious of people to defend their position in Iraq, is that we are fighting terrorists. And that is not what the war in Iraq is about. That's not what it's about.
No, and by kind of making Saddam and Osama interchangeable, it reinforces that notion in people's minds. If they're not paying very close attention to what he's saying, as far as some people are concerned, they can be the same person. They're interchangeable.
Which is, it's just a lie.
Of course it's a lie.
It's a mythology. And the interesting thing is that the language that, you just quote, where did I just do with that? The language that you were talking about from Zarqawi, the quote that you started about the angel of death.
Yes.
If you follow that through, this is the rest of that quote from Zarqawi. Just when you think you're safe with your idiot friends and your government, this is to Bush, while you have your Christians, we have our Lord who answers your calls, end quote. See how devious and sort of scheming that is? He knows that our president has aligned himself with fundamentalist Christians, who do not care about, anything but these, the moral slippery slope of this country that they see as being, foreboding, and also the rapture. But he is, obviously aligned himself publicly enough for these guys to start really building a case that this is a, strictly a holy war. And that's how they're going to recruit more terrorists. And this is like the great mistake of this administration is just being involved in this war and now allowing them to, you know, make it a religious message is just baffling. I think that was sort of a confused thing I just said. But what I'm saying is that it's being made into a holy war again.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, here's a quote from the Deputy Prime Minister and Defense Minister of Malaysia, a gentleman by the name of Najib Tun Razak. Quote, "The best thing that's happened to Al-Qaeda is for the United States to invade Iraq," end quote. Yeah. Now, if a Malaysian government official understands that very simple fact, which you've been hammering at for the last 3 months.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, and we'll talk about when we come back, is that the message from Rumsfeld is that, you know, these guys are on the run. The message from Bush and Cheney is that these guys are devious and they can sit and wait for as long as necessary. It's sort of a conflicting message, and the message we're getting from Time is that our borders have never been more porous.
Yes.
And that some of these Islamic fundamental radicals can come up through Mexico, and it would be very easy. It's very disturbing. We'll get into that when we come back after this on Air America Radio.
Anonymous, how can I help you?
Well, I'm addicted to Sean Hannity.
Sir, Sean Hannity.
I got a big problem. I'm listening to him on Sirius ABC News and Talk, and then
sir,
I listen at night to Hannity and Combs on Fox News, and then on the weekends, I catch repeats of the shows.
Sir, listening to Sean Hannity is not a problem.
Oh, okay. Sirius Satellite Radio has all the Sean Hannity you need to feed your addiction. Catch him on ABC News and Talk 140 and Fox News 105.
It's not often you can make a real difference in the lives of kids. When you volunteer as an optimist, you'll be helping kids take a positive turn in their lives. As their role model, mentor, leader, and friend, you'll help young people develop positive attitudes and approaches to life that will enable them to excel in school and in our community. So if you care about kids, give yourself a present by volunteering today. Optimists. Bringing out the best in kids.
Sirius, it's on.
It was way too much for my body, and I started tripping really, really bad. I curled up in a ball in a corner, started ripping out my hair, then slit my wrist with a steak knife, fell into a coma, and had to get my stomach pumped. I'm now in therapy in a rehab group. At school, I'm not even called by my name anymore. People just refer to me as that junkie.
This 15-year-old didn't die using ecstasy, though she probably wished she had. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on 4 continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Save lives, blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing that for years. I'm just letting you know that your safety belt can save you a whole lot of hassle, too. Because from coast to coast, cops are cracking down. They've got this enforcement effort, click it or ticket. Pretty simple. You buckle up or you get a ticket. Consider this a friendly warning, because guess what? Cops won't be giving warnings. Remember, click it or ticket.
Five past the hour, Mark Maron, Mark Riley.
Hi.
Kalo on the board, happy birthday.
Yo, yo.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. In an article from Time Magazine that's due out today, the September 20th issue, it's been reported that U.S. borders, you know, rather than becoming more secure since 9/11, have grown even more porous, and the trend has accelerated in the past year. This is based on the Time magazine investigation. It's fair to estimate that the number of illegal aliens flooding into the U.S. this year will total 3 million, enough to fill 22,000 Boeing 737 planes or 60 flights every day. Now, I guess there's, you know, I'm just looking at this the wrong way, but it looks like this would be a way to bolster an ailing airline industry. If this isn't true, if this is true, we should just have flights, you know, just for illegal alien flights, offer package deals for families, and fly them right in and sign them right up for their driver's license and give them, you know, a voter registration right away.
This is part of the problem.
Kidding, of course.
Part of the problem you have, Mark, is that while perhaps screening of people through airports may have gotten slightly marginally better, and I don't know that there's any evidence that even proves that, but what the Time magazine piece talks about is people who are crossing by their feet into the United States.
4,
across
000.
The board, yeah.
4,
they're talking
000.
About 3 million a year.
4,000 a day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how can you not? I mean, that would seem like I see them. You know what I mean? I mean, how can you not have, if they know that 4,000 a day are crossing in a specific area, given that it may be a few miles long,
yeah,
and it's an issue, I mean, 4,000 people, that's a lot of people.
All right, now let's talk
that's
about.
Not like, where are they?
But let's talk about why nothing's being done.
Okay, all right.
Because there's some simple reasons why nothing is done. A, big business loves illegals.
Cheap labor.
Cheap labor.
Yeah.
They will hire them in droves. And the better the economy, the more illegals big business will hire. Big business has lobbied against virtually every initiative that would crack down on that particular type of border incursion. Now, the other side of the equation is here in the Northeast, you have a different kind. We don't have people, you know, swimming across the ocean to come into the United States. Certainly you have problems in Florida in terms of Cubans, Haitians, et cetera, that are coming across, you know, the name of the straits that they cross, you know, the 90-mile crossing, whatever. But the specific area that Time was looking at was the border between Arizona and Mexico.
Right.
Which is where huge numbers of people stream. And the problem there is not just a question of the illegals from Central and South America or from Mexico that come across.
Yeah.
The overwhelming majority of people that come across there are, in fact, Mexican. The problem now is that there are reports, rampant reports, of Mideast terrorists using Central and South America as literally transshipment points for terrorists coming into the United States.
There's no passport issues. There's nothing. They can just slip in and, you know, with the Mexicans.
Yeah, and essentially the immigration authorities and customs authorities along the border are seeing more and more people, Russian, Chinese, Middle Eastern, coming across the border illegally. But the problem is, once they get here, even if they get caught, they get deported, they come right back. There's no, there's no real punishment sufficient to keep them from, repeating the attempts until they're successful.
Yeah, and it's pretty fascinating that there's all these, you know, these sort of underground human pipelines, you know, or I don't know what exactly you would call them. There was a big piece in the New York Times Magazine a few months ago about the business of transporting illegals state to state across the country. There are illegals that, you know, come up through Mexico, you know, are sort of, you know, rushed into a truck, paid their life savings to get, you know, dumped in New Jersey and, you know, wait, you know, outside a certain, you know, place where all these Mexicans and these illegal immigrants sort of gather to get work for the day. And there are people that provide this service, and it goes all over the country. They literally disperse these aliens throughout the United States.
And now think about this for a minute, Mark, and understand why there's been no real heavy crackdown. Over the period from 1992 through 2002, investigations targeting employers who hire illegal aliens have declined 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Fines have dropped 99%. The number of businesses that have been fined in 2002 had declined to 13.
So this is under this administration.
Under Clinton, too, to be fair.
Okay, let's try to be fair. But, you know, so clearly, you know, there is some economic sympathy, you know, to corporations, you know, administration sympathy, because on some level it helps the economy.
Well, yeah, and the thing was that Bush and Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico, prior to September 11th, had been working on a deal that would have allowed Mexicans to move more freely to certain areas of employment inside the United States. It blew up, of course, after September 11th. I mean, the possibility of actually getting that through Congress and actually having it implemented.
So this is not only, this is a Homeland Security issue, number one, yeah, in terms of like, you know, no, actually number one or number two, but Homeland Security in the sense that, you know, Islamic extremists have found their way to sort of, you know, fit into the crowd and come up through Mexico,
yeah.
All right, which is, you know, has nothing to do with passports. There's no way to keep an eye on that, all right? And number two, you have all these jobs being outsourced in this country. You have, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people out of work because they can't get, you know, even, you know, basic jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, within these corporations that you're talking about, yet these corporations are hiring, you know, illegal immigrants to, you know, not provide health care, to undercut the minimum wage, to do whatever they can to cut. So sweatshops are being set up within this country, you know, and putting Americans out of work. I mean, this is something Buchanan gets all worked up about.
Let me tell you a quick story that happened here in New York. There was a situation a few years ago where a scaffolding broke down,
yeah,
and several people were killed. Seven people, I believe, altogether were killed.
Yeah.
These were all workers that were working on the scaffolding. It was a building not that far from here.
Yeah.
It turned out that the building was managed by the brother of then mayoral candidate Mark Green. But it also turned out that most of the people who were killed were illegal.
Yeah.
They were illegal workers. One of them was only 17 years old.
Wow.
It was technically illegal for him to even be working on a scaffolding like this.
And I wonder what, well, we'll talk about it a little more when we come back, that and North Korea here on Air America Radio.
Taking on sensible debt has long been a way for families to achieve their long-term goals like buying a house or sending their children to college. But here's a reality check. Today's households are borrowing more than ever to reach those goals and more often than not just to make ends meet. Average credit card debt among families with at least one card has grown by $5,000 in just 10 years. Seniors who could once expect to own their homes by retirement are now facing mortgage payments well into their golden years and depleting their savings in the process. With expenses on the rise and wages staying put, the middle class cream may be getting too expensive for the middle class. No wonder 90% of bankruptcy filers are now middle income families. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for restoring the American dream. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
I love you, I've waited so long for this moment, it's finally just you and me, oh.
Jeff, oh, what are you doing with that asshole?
It's all about the passion, and the wait's over. The race for the Super Bowl champ is right here on Sirius. Get every game, every week, everywhere. Plus, the biggest names in NFL history, Shannon Sharp, John Wiggins, and Dan Reeves have joined the Sirius Club with their own shows. NFL Talk, 24-7 on Sirius NFL Radio, 124.
Printer's out of paper.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, completely out.
How hard is it to refill a printer?
All you gotta do is open the tray and put the paper in.
Seriously?
And look, the paper's right here on the shelf.
Unbelievable.
It's right here. People, come on.
Excuse me, I just need to get...
Oh, don't bother. It's out of paper.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'll just refill it.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful ways to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach. Sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist because the Nature Conservancy works locally to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. Help save the last great places. Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org.
Paul McCartney, on behalf of Rad, if you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We're back. Mark Maron, Mark Riley, Mornings Edition, Air America Radio. So I guess what the point we're trying to make about the illegal immigrants is essentially is what comes first to this administration, homeland security or money? And that's always the question with this administration and with politics in general. You know, in terms of the environment, in terms of a lot of things, this administration has made compromises in order to protect the bottom line as opposed to protect the people of this country. Homeland security has become a bloated bureaucracy with a lot of infighting. It's ineffective. And again, with the illegal immigrants thing, as Riley said on break, they're never going to stop it because it just makes too many people too much money.
That's
it allows
absolutely.
Them to cut corners. So now, what happened to my mic in my head? Do you hear me?
Yeah, okay, we right. agree.
I got. Hold on a minute. There we go.
There we go.
All right. It's shorting out my head. I can't hear myself talk right now. It's really wild. So now let's put that to rest and quickly say that that North Korea says that it was not a nuclear blast, but it was instead it was what was it? What did they use?
It's just an ordinary mushroom cloud.
Yeah. Just a mushroom cloud. Something went wrong with there was a grease fire at a restaurant. Don't be alarmed. I mean, for God's sakes, man! People in airplanes were, you know, the pilots were probably coming on the intercom going, "There's nothing to see here. Just keep moving."
You know, the North Koreans never, they never do things for nothing, okay?
How can you not know? There's no such thing as a secret nuclear test. You know, we've got satellites everywhere. It's like, come on, you know, it is what it is.
But you know what it is?
Sometimes a duck is a duck, as they say, or whatever they say.
The North Koreans are responding to reports that the South Koreans have actually been experimenting with nuclear materials. Not conducting tests, but messing with the materials. And the North Koreans saying, if they do, we will. That's all.
Yeah, but wait, aren't one of them the bad guys?
Both of them, as far as, you know, being nuclear powers, might be the bad guys. But we have a very inconsistent policy when it comes to nukes. Some countries it's okay for them to have. Some countries not.
But the North Koreans is
Kim Jong-il.
Yeah. Kim Jong the second. There's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. We'll write these down. 1, recycle whenever possible. Don't forget to recycle the same old liberal cliches. 2, buy an assault rifle and beat it into a plowshare. But first, find out what a plowshare looks like. 3, forge another document for Kerry. 4, just in case a human gestation period becomes significantly longer, legalize abortion in the 4th and 5th trimesters. 5, phrase for the day, just drop it into conversation. Quote, have you noticed that hurricanes with men's names cause more domestic violence? End quote. We got more coming up in a couple hours.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary. You on the telephones. The death of the assault weapons ban. Whoa! The Monday job listing and much, much more here on Air America Radio.
Museum, watching a movie, eating French fries. Do you know what these things all have in common? When you do them with kids, you're helping to prevent crime. So spend time, anytime, with kids. You'll help keep them away from crime and help prevent crime in your community. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT. That's 1-800-WE-PREVENT.
What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. In southern Afghanistan today, U.S. forces backed by helicopter gunships killed 22 insurgents, including several Arabs, according to the U.S. military, in a 12-hour battle in Fallujah, Iraq today. The U.S. military says jets made a precision strike on a meeting of a group led by terror suspect Abu Musab Zarqawi. Hospital officials and witnesses, however, now say at least 16 people have been killed and 12 wounded in that precision attack. A leading critic of the Bush policy in Iraq says he's dumbfounded by a statement from Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld on Friday. Rumsfeld said, quote, "We have gone from zero to 95,000 Iraqis that are fully trained, fully equipped, providing their own security." Well, Senator Joe Biden of Delaware says in his trips there recently, he found, to the best of his knowledge, not one single solitary Iraqi policeman has completed the 24-week training course. And on CBS's Face the Nation, Biden ripped into President Bush.
The president made so many fundamental miscalculations with regard to Iraq, people don't trust his judgment anymore. The rest of the world doesn't trust his judgment. The Iraqi government doesn't trust his judgment.
Two more points of view this morning on the effectiveness of military strategy in Iraq. One from the Associated Press, which reports things are quiet these days in Tikrit, the hometown of Saddam Hussein. The U.S. Army intelligence officer describes it as a live-and-let-live relationship, and military officials are said to be cultivating relationships with tribal sheikhs and former Ba'athist Party members. One grocery store owner in Tikrit, though, says people want the Americans out, but they can't do anything about it because the Americans have the upper hand with tanks and planes. In contrast, Fallujah, where the outgoing Marine commander is questioning the decision to storm the city in April after the killing of four U.S. contractors there and then pull back after 3 days of fighting. Lieutenant General James Conway tells the Los Angeles Times that the controversial tactics helped solidify Fallujah's position as a haven for insurgents. Conway says, "We follow our orders, we had our say, we understood the rationale, and we saluted smartly and went about the attack." Thanks to congressional and White House inaction, the ban on assault weapons expires tonight at midnight, and the big guns will be legal again. The ban on weapons, including AK-47s and Uzis, was signed into law by President Clinton in 1994, and law enforcement officers around the country wish it could be extended. Opponents of the ban are celebrating, and of course, supporters are frustrated. And a decision is expected today on whether to order evacuations along the Florida panhandle. That is looking more and more like the possible target of Hurricane Ivan. People chased from the Florida Keys were told today that evacuation orders have been lifted. Ivan is now packing 160-mile-an-hour winds, and the western tip of Cuba is in its direct path. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
Come out and cheer, cause football is here. Root for your favorite, you waited all year. We got the best of the NCAA.
All the top teams.
Yeah!
Fight, fight, fight.
Here's to the red, white, and blue. Game day's upon us, so grab the whole crew. Skip all the fuss, go to Sirius for game times and schedule too.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. As a kid, your green machine was the envy of every big wheeler on the block. But with today's gas prices, adult consumers are turning to a new green machine. When I return, we'll grow with the flow. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they'd buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Yesteryear's green machines were inexpensive, non-polluting kids' toys. But today's grown-up version, hybrid cars, are dubbed green for the color of money and the environment. Hybrids are designed with a gasoline engine and an electric motor that work in concert to increase efficiency and reduce emissions, saving both money and the environment. No longer the ride of the future, Toyota and Honda hybrids are already on the road, and Ford, Dodge, GM, and Lexus will soon grow with the flow. Yes, with a little insight into hybrids, you can escape gas lines and save the earth. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
We're fighting for our lives here.
George W. Bush. Now, what do you think that W stands for? That W stands for wrong. Wrong direction, wrong choices, wrong priorities, wrong judgment for our country.
Good morning, Mark Riley. Good morning, geniuses. Good morning, philosopher kings, working class heroes, haters, lovers, liberals of all kinds, cat people. Good morning, cat people.
Good morning. Not that I'm a cat person or anything.
Kalo on the board. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
Old are you? How old are you?
25.
25 years
go.
Old. A child. A child. Smarty Pants Larson in the booth reading the blog. But I can't read the blog during the show. The blog distracts me, but Larson is there. He's got extensive relationships with several bloggers and emailers. Back and forth, back and forth. Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe I should change it. Anyways. Brendan P.W. McDonald at the party, still engaged, it's going well. Let's take, when they get married, I don't know when he's getting married. When is he getting married, Larson?
Uh-oh.
Do you know? Do you have any idea? What?
Well,
nothing? I can't hear
he's
you.
There, ask him.
Oh, you got to turn my headphones up.
Oh.
Yeah, when, Larson? When?
October next year.
October next year.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to start taking bets. Well, that's a ways away. If we're still on the air.
No, come on, man. Be an optimist. Be a bashman.
No. What the pool is like how long before the baby comes. That's the big pool.
Ah, okay.
I'm pretty good at calling babies.
Really?
Yeah. My buddy Sam, he got married, and I said, there's gonna be a baby there within a year.
Bam. Really?
There was a baby 3 months ago, and they'd been married just about a year, I think. I'm having a hard time hearing the voices in my head that I need to hear, but that's not the issue. I want to reach out to... Chris, thank you for the box of cat stuff. It's going to be very helpful. My cats are starting to get comfortable, not with me per se, but in the environment. There was a big cat soccer match at about 3 in the morning last night. Very exciting. The sad thing is, Riley, I get up, like a lot of times during the day, they're laying around, you know, and they're just sleeping. And at night, they party, right? So I get up at 2:30, 3 in the morning to come to work, and I open the door, and there's, like, all these cats all over. There's one, you know, hanging from the light. There's one, you know, like, on the couch. There's a couple on the chair. And literally, they all look at me like, oh, damn. Party killer. Buzz kill.
Buzz kill.
They're going back underneath. Well, finally, after, you know, weeks of talking to different cat people and people that will help me, there's a woman's going to come over tomorrow and actually inoculate the cats. And deworm the cats and put a large cage in my apartment so they can all be in it and get used to me that way as opposed to... Because apparently, if they have the run of the house and they can hide, they don't see any reason to really interact with me. So I'm going to have to take this tough love a step up. She's also going to help me trap the mother and get her fixed. And apparently, it's weird. There's a bitterness among some of these people. She's like, you know, no one does anything. I've been doing this for a year. She's helped like 250 cats. She's fixed a bunch of cats. She does it, you know, she's subsidized by the Humane Society, but a volunteer thing, and she's really going out of her way to do this. And a lot of the cat people that say they're doing work, they don't do the work that they say they're doing. Some people think if they save one cat, they've done their business. She believes that some people are actually, you know, not embezzling money, but stealing money as a foundation and not really doing a lot of the cat
they're
work.
They're in it to win it, in other words.
Exactly. And like she... So she's sort of bitter. She's like, I'm getting out of it in October. I can't take it. She's got that jadedness that some cops get after a while. It's like, there's no stopping crime. She's like, there's no stopping cats. They're just going to keep coming and coming no matter what I do. She's got 25 cats in her house. This woman's a saint. She's going to come over and help me. Apparently, she went to Queens last week to save like a bunch of kittens that the kids had been shooting with BB guns.
Oh man.
So BB guns. So they got BB guns to kill cats with. And now if they want, they'll be able to, you know, take some And that's semi-automatic. I did that with my finger. That's the difference between a semi-automatic weapon and an automatic weapon. This is an automatic weapon. Semi-automatic. So theoretically, if you've got a quick finger, you could be just as fast as an automatic weapon. And God knows, Mark Riley, to some people in this country, these are necessary items to have. Semi-automatic weapons. Thank God the ban is over, because now I can protect myself. And if I want to, I can take out a busload of people that are against me.
The ban ends at midnight tonight. What will be next, Mark Maron? Rocket-propelled grenades?
Dude, that's the most hilarious part of this, in the sick way that I find things hilarious, is that the 1994 law that prohibits these semi-automatic weapons. First of all, if it's a semi-automatic weapon made before 1994, no problem.
No problem.
You can have that. And there was actually gun manufacturers, when they knew the ban was coming down, escalated production on these semi-automatic
weapons.
They
flooded the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's plenty of them out there. And as Peter Bergen says, even like in Iraq, anyone could get a weapon, because the place is just, you know, crawling with weapons of any kind. Literally, I think in Iraq, all of a sudden you could just find, a rocket launcher just laying on the streets. Like, oh, good, there's one that hasn't been used yet. It's going to be like that here, after tomorrow. But here's the deal. 1994 prohibits manufacturers from producing firearms with more than one of the following assault weapon features. Right? Folding telescoping stock. Fine. Protruding pistol grip. That, you know what that means? It has a protruding pistol grip. It's designed to be shot from the waist, which is what some automatic weapons are for. You know, a regular gun or a rifle for hunting, you have to draw up to your shoulder, aim, and fire.
Yes.
Some automatic weapons are designed to scattershot. Now, a bayonet mount, also bad, because really not necessary for hunting. Threaded muzzle or flash suppressor, that's for a silencer, which are illegal. But here's one that kills me. Grenade launcher. Can't make any guns for sale in this country that has a grenade launcher attachment.
Thanks.
I know that disappoints a lot of people who are planning on doing some of that. I guess, what kind of hunting would you call that? A grenade launcher hunting?
That would be people hunting. And see, this was done by Senator Dianne Feinstein back in 1994, 10 years ago. And it was the direct result of three different mass shootings in the state of California. There was a McDonald's in San Diego County. 21 people were killed. Then there was a shooting at an elementary school in Stockton. 5 people died there. And then a shooting at a law firm in San Francisco back in 1993. 8 people killed, 6 wounded.
An American trend, Mark Riley, in slaughtering the innocents with psychotic gunfire.
And here's the problem. Everybody says, well, I would have signed it. You know, Bush says, I would have signed it if Congress had given it to me. Congress says, well, we would have passed it, except the president never gave us any guidance. So everybody, by the way, controlled, Bush is a Republican, Congress controlled by Republicans. They all get to point fingers at each other, like, you know, one side is Democrats and one side is Republicans. Say, well, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. No, he didn't do it. No, he didn't do it. So, it expires. And police chiefs all over the country, and see, under any other circumstances, this administration would follow the advice of police chiefs. But in this singular instance, they refute the idea, which the police chiefs take as gospel, that crime is going to go up as a result of the lapsing of this ban.
And also it puts the police in an awkward position to be outgunned by people who they are trying to, apprehend or fight. You know, it's like police, should be the only ones that have this type of weaponry. If necessary, the situation requires it. But when the criminals also have it, you end up with like a Cold War in the streets. It's like, remember those two guys that were in that standoff? Where was that? In California? For like hours?
Yeah.
With semi-automatic weapons and automatic weapons? I mean, it went on for hours because these guys outgunned the cops. And that, you can't have that. You can't have that happening. And that should definitely be the only reason why they get these off the streets, because there's evidence that indicates that without these things on the street, this type of crime has gone down.
Later this morning, we're going to be talking to a gentleman who used to be a lobbyist for the NRA, the National Rifle Association, who is now very much in favor of gun control. We're going to talk with him about the implications of this, because there's a side of America that says it's not going to make any difference. The crime didn't go down, although it actually did, during the term of the assault weapons ban, and then it letting it lapse is not going to have any effect at all on the crime rate. That's what some people argue.
Oh,
we're going to find out exactly
from him. That'll be good.
Yeah, what the real deal is here.
Why don't some of you gun owners call us? 866-303-2270. Liberal gun owners, or even, Republican gun owners, I'd like to hear the defense for keeping
some automatic weapons, you know, on the street for taking away the ban. I want to know how you defend a semi-automatic weapon other than to, you know, I imagine it's so, like, if in case things really get bad here.
What, so you're going to shoot multiple elephants? Is that what it is?
It's not about hunting, you know, clearly.
All right.
Of course you know that. It's not about hunting. It's like, well, when they come.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, we want to be able to... 866-303-2270. We'll talk to you in a minute on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Sorry, that's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
I love you. I've waited so long for this moment. It's finally just you and me.
Jeff, what are you doing with that football?
It's all about the passion, and the wait's over. The race for the Super Bowl champ is right here on Sirius. Get every game, every week, everywhere. Plus, the biggest names in NFL history. Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Dan Reeves have joined the Sirius Club with their own shows. NFL Talk, 24-7 on Sirius NFL Radio, 124.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad, he eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way!
I saw him do it.
Cool. Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Yes. 19 past the hour, Morning Sedition, Mark Maron. I am here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Who is there. It's Air America Radio. Now, I grew up in New Mexico, Riley, so gun control laws were pretty lax. Everyone had a gun. My dad's got several, which I never understood. He used to drive around with a pistol in his car. It wasn't clear to me what he was going to do with it, either shoot himself or with my dad, it was always like, you know, I'm going to take care of these bastards, or I don't want to live anymore. You know, so I never knew what it was going to be. Like, you know, who are you going to use it on, Dad? Is it this a criminal thing, or are you going to use it on you?
You know, you had in New York back in the mid late 70s, you had that that whole Saturday Night Special thing that was
38.
Yeah.
Let me do the dream diary here. I've got my dream from this happened actually on Saturday. I'm the new boy in the village, outcast, alone. My ideas and appearance too hideous for the company of decent folk.
I've been wandering from town to town, begging for any sort of work, a scrap of bread, a look without scorn, without revulsion, without contempt. This day in this town has been like 100 others, without pity, without hope. I sit squatting and weeping in a filthy corner, despair closing around me when I feel a hand on my shoulder. I turn and am face to face with a bizarre figure, with magenta hair and rings in her nose and combat boots on her feet. There's something wild and fierce in her, but it is a face not without kindness. Hi, my name is like Sherry, and you can come with me if you want. Sherry takes my hand and leads me into a clearing in the woods. I follow, transfixed and flooded with gratitude. My name's Mark, I say, and for the first time I am not afraid. By the glow of a campfire, one by one, the creatures emerge from the darkness. They have scruffy facial hair, decrepit shoes, t-shirts of strange bands, battered jackets from a different era clearly purchased from thrift stores. The unfortunates stare at their shoes and mumble without emotion, a lifetime of being shunned by jocks and mall rats, jeered at for their intellect, their irony, and perverse fondness for reading. Sherry steps forward and silences them. Everybody, this is Mark, and he's cool. And they all say, hey, Mark, and then they join hands and begin to chant. We believe that wealth should be distributed more or less equally. We believe in social progress and tolerance and equality. We believe in education so that future generations might be more intelligent than our own. We believe in science and facts, not in superstition. We believe personal freedoms need not be sacrificed for safety of all. We are liberals. We are liberals. We are liberals. Then they made a circle around me. One of us. One of us. One of us. A tear rolls down my cheek, and for the first time in my life, I feel like I belong. Just then a posse with torches and dogs comes crashing through the woods. Round up the freaks, one yells, and before I could run away, I was caught in a net, a prisoner of the right. They forced me to listen to Sean Hannity and threw me in a cage and hung a sign outside it that says, liberal talk show host. The villagers laugh and point. Somewhere in the distance, I can hear Sherry's mournful cry. Hey, a-hole, give me back my iPod. I woke up and my bed was filled with sad accordion music. 866-303-2270. Tom, how are you, Tom? Dave. Dave, what's on your mind, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, all right.
Good. I worked at a gun range. When I met my wife, I got involved with the family business. And people don't understand that incompetence among gun owners is rampant.
Yes.
I've watched people blow their fingers off.
At the gun range, which is your family's business.
Well, used to be. We sold the business, and I went and got my commercial driver's license, and if they made it as hard to get a gun as it is to get your commercial driver's license,
we'd be safer.
Oh, yeah.
So wait, gun owner incompetence. You saw guys at the range blow their fingers off?
Trying to sight in their rifles for hunting season.
Oh,
wow.
And these are guys who, you know, had hunting in their families for generations.
Yeah.
And you just stand there and you're like, oh my God, how did this go on?
They don't even know basic gun safety. Now, let me ask you a question, Dave. What about specifically semi-automatic weapons? I mean, what is the real necessity of these weapons in just regular people world?
In regular people world, there is no
exactly
necessary reason to have one.
Thank you.
For sport shooting, you know, which is typically rifles and pistols, it takes a lot of skill and practice to get good at these events that they use.
Sure.
Use them for. And
yeah.
There's no reason to have a gun that's going to, you know, shoot off 30 rounds in a second.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, outside of it, just, you know, I mean, I think it just, thanks for your call, by the way. I think it plays into people's fears that they want to feel, you know, fortified, protected. They, you know, there's a certain amount of sort of isolationist fear in this country, and people think that they deserve to have these guns. It's their constitutional right. But I don't think that these kind of guns are what are needed, and clearly they cause the crime rate to go up. And I also know the thrill of shooting off a gun. I mean, I grew up in New Mexico. I've taken guns out. You know, I've shot shotguns. I've shot rifles. I've shot, you know, handguns, which are really a trip. And, you know, there is a sort of, you know, rush to it. I can imagine that, you know, shooting a semi-automatic weapon in a safe environment or up into the air would be kind of, like, I can imagine this happening. Oh, man, that was wild. Wow. Oh, my God, that was insane. I want to do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes. Look at this. You know, but I can understand the thrill of it. But on the other side of it, it's not a sporting thing to kill people. And it's not a sporting thing to have these things out in the street. And it's not a sporting thing to you know, make them available to the general public, as Dave said. Because most people are like, what is this? Oh, I dip my hand. You know, I mean, you know, so there's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons why this ban is lapsing is because the Democratic Party felt back in 1994 that they may have lost as many as 20 seats in Congress due to support in their party for the assault weapons ban.
Yeah.
And that there were several key southern states that Al Gore lost, and he wanted to have some national registry for gun owners, which would have been, of course, a step beyond the assault weapons.
I think that should absolutely be the case. I mean, these things should be numbered. They should be regulated. They should, you know, people should know who have these guns. And also, I think, what was I going to say? Did the thought just go away from me? I think it might have. Let's talk to Joe in Fort Lauderdale. Joe, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Nothing, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I just wanted to tell you, I am a gun owner. I am a sport rifle owner.
Yeah.
And I live in Fort Lauderdale. And the guns, even during the whole ban, were never unavailable.
Hey, where? Where? Where could you get them?
You could go to any gun show.
Oh, yeah.
They sell AK-47s. They sell AR-15s, whatever you want.
Well, there's a grandfather clause
Were these pre-ban guns? Is that it?
Well, yeah, they might be pre-ban guns, but they also conform to the ban, like as far as the capacity, the round capacity.
Okay. You sound like a reasonable guy, Joe. I don't know you, but you're a guy who I'm talking to on the phone that has a semi-automatic weapon in his house, right?
Right. Listen.
Why?
Why not?
Okay, well, but what do you think's going to happen? Are you just a gun fan? Do you like to go out? Do you take it out on the boat and shoot it up into the air? What do you think's going to happen?
I go to a range and I target shoot.
Oh, so you like to just pop off a few rounds as a hobby?
Yeah.
And it's just it's fun to shoot a semi-automatic weapon.
Yeah, well, it's no different than shooting any other gun.
Except you can do it.
It's not like a machine gun. I mean, it looks like a machine gun, but it doesn't shoot like a machine gun.
Well, maybe you're not pulling the trigger fast enough.
No, well, I could if I want to, but most gun ranges don't allow you to do that.
Yeah, so, good. Don't tempt them, all right?
So you're a sports shooter. It's not some sort of deep-seated paranoia. You don't think you deserve that gun in order for self-defense. You just do it because you like to shoot guns.
It's nice to have, you know, a little peace of mind.
Oh, so there we go. So that's different.
Well, you know, I'm not too far from Miami, and we had some riots in the past, and you never know.
But what about law enforcement? You don't have a lot of confidence in law enforcement or the.
You know what? We do have law enforcement, but if you remember during the riots in Miami, the law enforcement wasn't able to help a lot of people that were getting killed on the street.
Okay. All right. Well, that's an interesting point. Thanks for your call, Joe. So this is, people don't feel safe. They don't feel like, and I've had that conversation with Larson, too, before, is that, you know, if you call the police, you expect the police to come.
What do you figure, the brothers from Liberty City going to run up to Fort Lauderdale, bang on his door or something?
Want his gun.
When we come back, Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Former gun lobbyist Bob Ricker on the end of that assault weapons ban, Monday's job listing, and much more for you here on Air America Radio.
This is a financial update. The average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
Hello from the road, folks. You know, the only thing better than a twofer is a threefer. That's why this fall I'm staying at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn hotels. See, I get triple Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards credit every time. So I earn flights 3 times faster. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com. We'll see you there.
Offer good for qualifying stays in the U.S. before November 30th, 2004. For details, visit choicehotels.com. Triple credit means 1.5 credits instead of the standard 0.5.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. U.S. fighter planes attacked a suspected insurgent hideout in the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah on Monday, killing at least 16 and wounding 12. The strike comes after a weekend surge in violence killed nearly 60 people across Iraq. Here at home, the ban on assault weapons expires at midnight tonight. Gun owners are happy, critics not happy. One of those critics is Senator John Kerry, who's unveiling his anti-crime plan today. President Bush is highlighting his health care agenda as he tours in his campaign bus through Michigan. Bush lost Michigan to Al Gore 4 years ago by 5 percentage points, and recent polls have him trailing Kerry narrowly in the state. The huge mushroom cloud over North Korea last Thursday raised speculation that some kind of nuclear explosion took place. The BBC is reporting North Korea claims it was simply demolishing a mountain to build a hydroelectric project, and a decision is expected shortly on whether to order evacuations along the Florida Panhandle as Hurricane Ivan approaches. Air America.
I love you. I love you. I've waited so long for this moment. It's finally just you and me. Oh.
Jeff. What are you doing with that football?
It's all about the passion, and the wait's over. The race for the Super Bowl champ is right here on Sirius. Get every game, every week, everywhere. Plus, the biggest names in NFL history. Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Dan Reeves have joined the Sirius Club with their own shows. NFL Talk, 24-7 on Sirius NFL Radio, 124.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're in the market for a used car, and a cherry red convertible makes your mouth water. Don't sign on the dotted line yet, because your cherry might be a lemon. When I come back, I'll produce some helpful hints. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com. That used car is the apple of your eye, but beware, the engine might be rotten to the core. Take the advice of the Federal Trade Commission, and yours truly, shop around before you pick that seemingly sweet deal. Check out the car's repair records, maintenance costs, and safety and mileage ratings. Then test drive it for a couple of hours on hills, highways, and in stop-and-go traffic. Finally, have a certified technician perform a pre-purchase inspection and give you a shopping list of repairs. Now you're ready to basket a great used car. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Good morning, Mark Maron. Mark Riley over there, Morning's Edition, Air America.
Good morning.
33 past the hour. Good morning, Mom. I think this is when she goes running. She's like, Mark, I listen to you when I go running in the morning. It's so nice to listen to you. You're so smart. And I'm like, yeah. You believe it? No, she's out there, down there in Florida. I guess they're waiting for another hurricane. She's probably barricading the house with the jazz guy. Hey, skilling bop. Here we go. Putting up the shutters. Bebop, bop. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 76. Leaders of Iraq. All right, first the bad news. The country is in an unending nightmare of kidnappings, marauding gangs, open warfare, and random gunfire. Yeah, exactly my point. Now the good news. These things are not incompatible with democracy. In fact, we have them in virtually all of our major cities, even in our minor cities. Hey, was that you or us? Our point is this. Chaos is not something to be avoided, just confined. If you follow our example, you'll keep it in what we call poor neighborhoods. Luckily for you, that's most of your country. The easiest way to deal with it is just to avoid these areas. Let it run its course. Oh, it'll take a while. In our case, the violence is fueled by crack cocaine. In your case, it's Islamic fanaticism. One point, there's more money to be made in crack cocaine, but that's a lesson for another day. Eventually, this urban blight will lead to Shiite flight. As the wealthy retreat to heavily guarded compounds, or what we call suburbia, so what you've done is to separate Okay, essentially what you've done is you separate the rich from the poor. Or more to the point, the voters from the non-voters. Voila. Democracy. Until then, good luck, God bless. This is day 76 of Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. They're lifting the ban on explosives as well. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That you can now have explosives just for recreational use only. Before we bring our guest on, let's we got a Kerry soundbite addressing the gun issue.
Yeah, the assault weapons ban. This was in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Let's hear from Senator Kerry.
Tom DeLay in the House of Representatives says, well, if the president asks us to send it to him, we'll send it to him. And the president says, well, if they send it to me, I'll sign it. But he doesn't ask, and they don't send it. And the result is the assault weapons ban is going to end. And these guys are cutting cops off the streets of America and putting assault weapons back on them.
No, he's all full of the fire, John Kerry. Our guest is a former top lobbyist for the gun industry. He's a former NRA lawyer, now consults for gun control organizations. Good morning, Bob Ricker.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Good morning.
Man. So what, tell me, first of all, I'm just curious. It's not on my question sheet. It's not. Why the change of heart, Bob?
Well, it was a question of corporate responsibility. I saw a lot of things that the gun industry should be doing and could be doing to make America safer, make our streets safer. I have a family, I have kids, and they were being held hostage by the National Rifle Association. We saw companies like Smith & Wesson who tried to do the right thing, and the company was just about destroyed by the NRA because of a philosophical view that they have that everyone should own a gun.
Well, but that's not the issue at hand right now. It's why should they own assault, semi-automatic assault rifles?
Right. Well, the issue here is there are different types of guns. There are some guns that are used for sporting purposes. There are some guns that are used for self-defense. And then there are guns that are used by the military. And what we're talking about here are military guns. These are guns that our soldiers have used throughout the years. They've been modified in minor ways, and people can now carry them on the streets. And we know that these guns are the weapons of choice of criminals. And 10 years ago, Congress stepped in and basically said, we banned machine guns back in the 1930s, and these guns are now as popular as machine guns, and we don't think there's a legitimate purpose for them on the streets. And they restricted 19 different makes and models of these types of weapons, and then establish certain tests that if a gun meets a certain test, then it's also going to be restricted.
Yeah, I went over some of the criterion for that earlier.
Bob Ricker, we had a call earlier from the Miami area who said essentially that it wasn't that difficult to get semi-automatic weapons during the assault ban anyway, because people could either modify them, they could get the ones that were grandfathered in that were actually manufactured before the ban. Did that caller have a point?
Yeah, I mean, that was a good point. It was a situation where certain manufacturers took off parts, made minor changes to their guns, and therefore they weren't covered by the law anymore, and they could be sold. Plus, there were guns that existed before the ban that were grandfathered in. I mean, in the United States, if somebody owns a piece of property, the government can't come in and take that away from you. So that was an issue.
Not anymore.
that was an issue that policymakers had to deal with in terms of how do you start something like this to at least get it into place.
Okay, we're talking to Bob Ricker. He's a former top lobbyist for the gun industry, a former NRA lawyer. Now he consults for gun control. We're going to talk about, when we come back, Bob, why the ban was allowed to expire. So we'll be back here in a second on Air America Radio.
Anonymous, how can I help you?
Well, I'm addicted to Sean Hannity.
Sir, Sean Hannity.
I got a big problem. I'm listening to him on Sirius ABC News and Talk, and then,
sir,
I listen at night to Hannity and Combs on Fox News, and then on the weekends, I catch repeats of the shows.
Sir, listening to Sean Hannity is not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Sirius Satellite Radio has all the Sean Hannity you need to feed your addiction. Catch him on ABC News and Talk 140 and Fox News 105.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters. Put away away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Racing thoughts, horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. I felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. I spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
So, hey, this is G-Lo, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power, one place where your voice counts, where you can make things change or make a difference. See, it's the voting booth, and it only takes a few minutes to register to vote. So what's your excuse? Get all the information you need at theheadcount.org. Yeah, your vote counts. We're serious. Check it out.
Yes, we're back. It's Morning Sedition. It's 42 past the hour. That's Mark Riley there.
Hi.
I'm Mark Maron. On the phone, we have Bob Ricker, who was a former lobbyist for the gun industry, and now he consults for gun control organizations. Bob, apparently the ban had a lot of support in the House and even with the president at times, yet it's been allowed to expire. Why?
Well, it's politics, Mark. That's what's in play here. We're in a tough presidential election, and after the 2000 race, it was pretty much conventional wisdom that the gun issue cost Al Gore the presidency, and a lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans just don't want to have that issue crop up at this time of year in their campaign.
But isn't it a misunderstanding? I mean, I don't think that Al Gore was saying that people shouldn't have guns. I mean, what's wrong with these people? I mean, who are the NRA? Are they whack jobs? Are they afraid of the black helicopters coming? Or is the guy we just talked to in Miami afraid of black people coming? What is it?
Well, I think it's a combination of that. I mean, you have, in America, you have 70 million gun owners. Only 4 million are NRA members. So you have 66 million gun owners that reject what the NRA stands for. Yet that 4 million, they're very vocal. When the NRA says jump, they respond in how high. They call their representatives and congressmen. They write letters. They send emails. They send money to the NRA. I mean, the NRA has a $168 million a year annual budget.
It's about money?
Oh, it's about money and power. I mean, that's exactly what it's all about.
So these people are just... The NRA basically exploits the members of the population that are just horrified and completely frightened at the idea of not having a gun.
That's exactly, it's Chicken Little politics. I mean, every month or every 6 weeks, if you're an NRA member, you get a letter from Wayne LaPierre basically saying the sky is falling, that if you don't do this, if you don't send a letter to this congressman, or if you don't go out to this rally, that you're going to lose your gun rights.
So they saw the ban as a slippery slope.
Oh, yeah, very definitely, very definitely.
Bob, will it make any difference at all, the expiration of this ban, in terms of the ability of terror cells that we know are already in the United States, in terms of their access to these weapons?
Oh, it'll make it much easier for them to get these weapons. You see, when the ban went into effect, the guns that were out there became collector's items. The value shot up, tripled, quadrupled in some cases. The availability became relatively scarce. Now, when the ban sunsets, these things are going to be back, and you're going to see them at every gun show in America. You're going to see table after table of these types of weapons, AK-47s, Uzis, not with just 10-round magazines like the law required, but you're going to see the 25, the 30, the 100-round magazines available. And we all know that gun shows are probably the number one source of crime guns in America. And these terror cells will be able to walk into just about almost every major city in America on any particular weekend and buy these guns, no questions asked.
Well, I hope that they continue the ban on explosives.
So, well, you know, you can, as you know, you can make a very powerful explosive out of fertilizer. So
yeah, it's scary stuff because I imagine that a lot of these people who are arming themselves are arming themselves against what they see as, you know, also there are terrorists, but there's also sort of, you know, strange kind of isolationist, you know, American people who live in this country who are really ready to go to war with some vague idea of an enemy.
Right.
Isn't that true?
Oh yeah, very definitely. I mean, you know, there's a whole segment of the gun owning side of things that, you know, stockpile these things, they bury them in their backyards, you know, waiting for the invading hordes to come in.
Am I misunderstanding something, or wasn't the Second Amendment put into place to actually protect the people against their government? I mean, shouldn't they be, if they're going to raise arms, I mean, let's, you know, we just, well, I don't want to get too political, but, you know, it was, I don't know where you stand necessarily, but this, you know, this, some people would argue that this government was taken in a coup and that these people are tyrants in the Constitution. That was what we should be fighting against. That's why they were supposed to have arms to guarantee that didn't happen.
Yeah, now you're starting to sound a little bit like, you know,
like one of those wacky people.
Yeah, you know.
All right. All right, Mark Riley, ask a reasonable question.
Bob Ricker is our guest. He is a former gun lobbyist. He now consults gun control organizations. Bob, people in other parts of the world see Americans in many instances, particularly if you talk to folks from Western Europe, they see Americans as being somewhat gun crazy or on some level obsessed with guns. Now, Americans obviously cite the Second Amendment and that sort of thing, but are we as Americans, in your judgment, too focused on the ability to keep and bear arms?
Well, I think yes. I mean, you know, but guns have played a very prominent role in our history. I mean, as our country developed, I mean, you know, we fought back the Brits by being able to have firearms, and you know, the whole
shot a lot of Indians too.
Yeah, a lot of the Wild Wild West was a big part of that, and I think it's become part of our culture. But I do think that you know, we're very, very quick to when an argument comes up or somebody does something to hurt you, you know, that's the first thing you think about is let's grab a gun. And it's something that is the rest of the world does not look very favorably on. I mean, I've been in conversations with presidents of gun companies from Europe who scratch their head and say, you know, what's this big fight about in America? I mean, there are guns in Europe, and people who are sportsmen and hunters, they can still pursue their sporting activities. And
and you say, oh, Americans are crazy. You didn't realize that? They're crazy with guns. Let me ask you quickly, last question. Someone's got a gun, okay, to protect their home. Now, there are some cases where they actually do that, but there are other cases where they either shoot themselves or a member of their family. Which happens more often?
Well, I mean, we really don't know how often guns are used for self-protection. I mean, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there, but that's all it is. There are no statistics. But we do know that every year there are thousands of kids and other people who are injured accidentally or
on purpose, you know, accidentally.
Yeah, on purpose, accidentally, whatever, with guns. I mean, if you take out all the criminal numbers, people
sure.
who are killed in crime,
yep.
there's still a large segment of the population that is killed and injured by accidental shootings. And that's something that the gun industry could do something about tomorrow. And they're just
How so?
And well, by making guns safer. I mean, you know, it's
you mean ones that actually don't fire?
Right, or ones that you can pick the gun up and tell immediately whether or not it's loaded. I mean, that's the number one cause of accidental shootings.
Sure.
People think the gun isn't loaded, and they end up shooting somebody themselves or others.
Or maybe with certain type of locking devices and whatever.
Exactly. I mean, if we can send an astronaut to the moon, we can make a gun that you can tell whether or not it's loaded when you pick it up.
I think you're absolutely right. Thanks for joining us, Bob Ricker. Really great to talk to you. That was Bob Ricker. He was a former lobbyist for the gun industry. And he consults now for Gun Control Organization. Very informative. Appreciate him being here. We'll be back with the Monday job listing and many more things. It's 50 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, professional wrestler and best-selling author, and you're listening to the two guys who give the right wing the smackdown. It's Mark Maron and Mark Riley with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
This is the Window Bob Report. I'm Sarah Turner. Cash-strapped parents are feeling the pinch as schools across the country increase the price of lunch due to rising costs. The average high school lunch costs about $1.66 and $1.43 for elementary school lunches. According to a recent survey by Education Week, price increases ranged anywhere from 30 cents in Atlanta to $1 in California.
This Dow Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell them to get the Serious Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Serious. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Serious.com under Business Subscriptions or call 888-539-SERIOUS.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but
what?
But your butt, I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
It. We're back. 54 past the hour. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley there.
Yo.
Kalo, happy birthday. Chris Renee, thank you for the lovely care package for my kittens. We know things are tough in the job market right now, so we've decided to help out. We scanned through the Sunday Help Wanted listings and found this for the Morning Sedition's Monday job listing. Sexy new marketing positions in assault weapons sales. Tonight marks the end of the ban on assault weapons. That means opportunity. And not just for disgruntled loners. Gun makers need marketing professionals who want to make a killing in surefire growth industry. We're looking for high-caliber people. You'll have to get used to our sense of humor. They don't call us gun nuts for nothing. We need everyone from image consultants who can make carnage cool again to sales clerks fluid in Saudi Arabic. Hey, a customer is a customer. We also need trade show models, hot young women between the ages of 18 and, let's just make it 18. Do you look good in camouflage bikini? Can you seductively finger the barrel of a Ruger AC-556 in a way that says, I like to cuddle and kill? If so, strap a hunting knife to that nubile thigh and come audition. Be part of our team, because the people who aren't are going to get hurt. That's a morning sedition job listing for today.
I got to tell you something.
Yes, sir.
I knew that camouflage bikini line was coming.
Yeah, I knew it. Shot coming around the bend.
Around the bend. Not only that, the dreams of the person you described in your dream diary sounded eerily like someone I once had. A dream I had once about someone.
Wow,
years before I got married,
by the way. Sounds like you did a little self-editing in the middle of that there, right?
Yes, I did.
Somebody's going to be in trouble!
No. This was well before I met my wife.
Oh, thank God.
Many, many moons ago.
Whew, that was a close one.
Hi, honey!
Yeah, that was a close one. Yeah, so now we got to talk about a story because you're kind of into talking about it. Because we like it when televangelists get caught being the big old hypocrites that they are. What's this story about?
This is about a guy named Paul Crouch. He's the founder and president of the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And any those of you who've had a chance to see one of those Christian shows that's not by Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell, it's probably under the auspices of Paul Crouch. They are the world's largest Christian broadcasting
network.
Are they
the ones that do that show where that old dude with the mustache sits on like a throne with his wife and there's like such it's a big
which
show.
One?
It's just like all the, and whenever I turn those shows on, I'm like, oh my God, how could these people be representatives of the Almighty?
Yeah.
Why would he choose these people? Look at that hairpiece. All right, go ahead.
Well, it may well be either that show or one of a dozen others that are just like it. But this guy, Trinity is based in Orange County. They are actually building or want to build a studio not far from here in New Jersey.
Really?
In the town I live in. Yes,
really?
Absolutely.
Over by MSNBC?
Over in Englewood, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, there is an allegation that he and a gentleman whose name is Enoch Lonnie Ford had a sexual encounter 8 years ago.
His name is Enoch?
Enoch. And apparently, after he threatened to sue the Trinity Broadcast Network 6 years ago, claiming that he had been unjustly fired, they reached a $425,000 settlement with him. Now he's talking about writing a book where he's going to talk about the encounter.
And he wants a little more money, you mean.
Yeah.
So Crouch is willing to pay him off, which means...
No, yeah. Crouch has been fighting like a dog.
So he paid him the $425,000.
Well, no, they paid him that.
Well, for what?
Well, to keep his mouth shut.
Exactly, which means he's guilty, right? Means Crouch did it.
Oh, I mean, he may have admitted no wrongdoing. I don't know.
And here's what I say to the crumbling of Trinity Broadcasting. That's right. They're going down for sexual impropriety. The guy can't hide it. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide, because you know why? Your God will see you.
You're absolutely right. Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition. Did I want that story? Anyway,
yeah.
The Presidential Daily Briefing. Rich Cohen from the National Journal Congress's agenda for the week, the liberal agenda, and much more for you here on Air America Radio.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. The ban on assault weapons that was signed into law by President Clinton 10 years ago expires at midnight tonight thanks to congressional and White House inaction. The International Association of Police Chiefs supports tough laws on automatic weapons, and they are disappointed the ban won't be extended. Richard Pennington is the police chief of Atlanta.
We're sick and tired of picking up these young bodies off the street. We're sick and tired of trying to break up these drug gangs that use these guns. And we're sick and tired of the innocent people that get killed as a result of these dangerous weapons and these drive-by shootings.
Studies have shown conflicting results on whether the ban helped reduce crime. Loopholes allowed manufacturers to keep many weapons on the market simply by changing their names or altering some of their features or accessories. John Kerry is unveiling a $5 billion plan to fight crime today, and he's critical of President Bush for refusing to push for an extension of the assault weapons ban. In remarks prepared for a campaign event today, Kerry says the president chose his powerful friends in the gun lobby over police officers and the families he promised to protect. President Bush will be highlighting his health care agenda today as he tours on his campaign bus through Michigan. The president has stops planned in Muskegon, Holland, and Battle Creek as he pursues that state's 17 electoral votes. U.S. News and World Report has completed a review of President Bush's years in the National Guard and concluded that the White House claims he fulfilled his duties is based on an inappropriate and less stringent Air Force standard. Some experts say they remain mystified as to how Bush obtained an honorable discharge. A former top Defense Department official in the Reagan administration, Lawrence Korb, says the military records clearly show Bush had not fulfilled his obligation and should have been called to active duty. That from U.S. News and World Report. Some new 527 ads critical of President Bush's record on minorities will start airing soon. The Media Fund, a group of Democratic movers and shakers, has produced the ads that tell urban black Americans that Bush is turning his back on them. One of the ads says, Bush said prosperity was right around the corner, but he wasn't talking about the corners in your neighborhood. Democrats have claimed Republicans are working to suppress the black vote to help Bush win, particularly through radio and print ads by a Washington-based group called People of Color United. Those ads, funded largely by Republicans, criticized John Kerry as a wishy-washy rich white politician and his wife Teresa Hines Kerry as elitist rich and white. In Gary, Indiana, a fire has damaged a home built by Habitat for Humanity 1 week before the black family was scheduled to was scheduled to move in. The fire early Saturday has been ruled arson and appears to be racially motivated. And a decision is expected soon on whether to order evacuations along the Florida Panhandle, the possible target of Hurricane Ivan. The western tip of Cuba is in the direct path of the hurricane. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio.
Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, Grasshopper, it is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
No, I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, Grasshopper, for
no, wisdom radio, on Sirius, you know.
Oh, 132.
That'll do it.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Serious.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Roger and his wife are expecting, and their insurance doesn't cover delivery. My advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
What do you do when insurance won't cover the cost of delivery?
I'm self-employed, have an MSA. My wife and I are expecting a baby. Our insurance provider does not cover labor and delivery expenses. I'm wondering what my best approach is to go to the hospital and try to get some sort of a discount. What can I expect?
50% off.
How much?
50% off. Hospitals fight over OB business. You are holding a handful of aces, my man, and go in there acting like it. Go in person and shop the biggest three or four hospitals in the area that you're considering using, and then sit down with these guys and say, look, I'm trying to decide because I'm paying cash because I have an MSA. which hospital I'm going to use, I'm going to decide that based on the level of services, the quality of the service, and the price. I've had lots of people do it over the years that I've suggested, and I hear typically like a $7,000 labor delivery for about 3 to 4.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Hedges!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
For our lives here.
Buy a truck. Good morning. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, Mark Riley, Brendan P.W. McDonald standing in for Kalo, who's in the bathroom celebrating his birthday.
Oh, we're done now. We've gone all the way to the frat house.
There we go. Welcome to, what would it be? What's the name of our frat house? Doesn't matter. So we're talking about guns because the ban lifts today is the end of the semi-automatic ban, the ban on semi-automatic guns.
19 different or semi-automatic weapons.
You're not clear about the difference between an automatic weapon and a semi-automatic weapon. Here's the difference. Automatic. Semi-automatic. The only real difference is, how good is that finger? How good is that? Hey, how quick can you work that trigger? You know, as I said before, I grew up with guns. My father's not a cowboy. He's sort of like, you know, he has his moments where, you know, he freaks out. And he's like, we need to, you know, I need to have guns. There was a point, I got to be honest with you, Riley. One time my brother and I, when my dad was living in Phoenix briefly, my brother lived in Phoenix, and I met my brother, and we were going to go over to my dad's new apartment. And we went over to my dad's new apartment, my dad's new apartment, and he was literally sitting there on his bed with about 6 or 7 handguns.
Whoa!
Just sitting there, surrounded by handguns.
He knew you were coming?
Yeah, he was like, look at this. Like, he was trying to impress us. Like, hey, I got this one and this one. And he went through this phase where he just started buying all these handguns. And he drove around in his car with a handgun for a while because he thought it made him feel like a badass. You know, I mean, that was really what that was about.
So they don't stop you out there. I mean, they literally, if you got, like, in a traffic stop, If they saw a gun sitting on the other on, you know, in the driver's seat, what would they do? What would the cops do?
Well, I guess it depends who you are and what you say.
Yeah. Like, oh, that, if it was me,
know, yeah, exactly.
I'd be the late Mark Riley. That for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if he still does that. You know, you're supposed to have a permit for that. But I guess the point I'm making is like, I'm no stranger to having guns around. But I choose not to have one because I think if you're going to own a gun, you got to be ready to kill somebody. And if you're not ready, if you don't have that in you, the gun's only going to get you into trouble. And, you know, most people, like, I've had these conversations. I've had this conversation with my wife, you know, because she was robbed. And it was like, well, maybe we should get a gun. You know, and you look, I know what it's like to be afraid. I am married. And here's what I'm saying. The truth of the matter, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you hear a noise, you both wake up, and she's like, what was that? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I say, well, maybe you ought to go check, baby. You know, you said you wanted water earlier. Maybe you should just go see if, you know.
No, you go.
And
no,
then I thought, you know, and then I felt like if I had a gun, you know, I'd have that peace of mind that cat from Florida was talking about. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have to use it, but I know I had it if I needed it. But then you read that most people, you know, who buy guns to end up, you know, to protect themselves from criminals don't end up shooting criminals. You know, they shoot who's ever in the house, you know. And I picture that same thing happens again, only you got a gun. You know, we both wake up. She's like, what was that? I'm like, I don't know. Just be quiet. I'm going to teach you that. It's a lesson, you know, and I can walk down the hall and just be like, hey, you know, and then all of a sudden you hear, you know, and like, and she comes out and she says, what happened? I'm like, oh, baby, I killed your cat. And she's like, well, what do you mean you killed a cat? I'm like, well, I thought it was intruders. I didn't, what's wrong with you? You killed a cat. It's like, you know, what's wrong with me? What exactly is your problem now? See, and that's how the accidents happen. You know what I mean? Officer, it just went off.
Mm-hmm. I see a lifetime of bologna and cheese sandwiches in your future. I can tell you that now.
But that's how domestic violence occurs with guns. If, you know, it's a matter, if you have a gun in the house and you don't know how to use it, or you don't have your anger issues under control, or you have children in the house, there's a million things that can go wrong. I think guns are a magnet for problems, you know, if you're not, you know, really, really careful. And even then, who the hell knows what can happen with those things in the house.
Well, you know, we are here in New York City, which has some of the toughest gun control laws in the country.
And they get stolen, right, Mark?
Yeah, they get stolen. And there are situations where the idea that people can get carry what are called carry permits, which allow you to actually walk around with a gun. Yeah. Numbers are very, very small, and most of the people that are allowed are very, very prominent. Folks like Donald Trump, I think, has a pistol permit in New York. But, I mean, assault,
some people do. Doesn't Stern, isn't there? Remember we had that conversation with that guy that nobody liked that you said helps people get gun permits?
Yeah, yeah.
That Bo Deedle?
Bo Deedle.
Yeah.
He helps a lot of New Yorkers get gun permits. But there are some very, very strict gun control laws here. And ironically enough, a lot of people attribute the really steep decline in crime in New York City to the fact that police were more aggressive in getting guns off the street and really managed to start interrupting the flow of guns. Because in New York, even with tough laws, you know, all you have to do is go to a state where the laws are more lax. You go down south for whatever reasons. You can go down there and usually buy a gun without, I think you have to wait a day or so.
New Mexico, you can buy handguns at sporting goods stores. There was very little gun control laws. It was encouraged. You'd be more encouraged to buy guns. And the fact of the matter, Jimmy Tingle had a great joke on that. Jimmy Tingle, he was a funny guy, and he had this show, he's a comedian, and he had a one-man show, but he had this joke about the three-day waiting period, you know, the guy comes running into the gun store, I need a gun right now, and the guy says, well, there's a three-day waiting period, it's like, oh, the dude will be gone by then, this whole idea of what, I thought was hilarious, but Jimmy Tingle, he's from Boston. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, he's from Boston.
Well, he was a funny guy. He's a stand-up. Anyways, there are approximately 192 million privately owned firearms in the U.S., 65 million of which are handguns. Currently, an estimated 39% of households have a gun, while 25% have a handgun. The presence of a gun in the home, triples the risk of homicide in the home. The presence of a gun in the home increases the risk of suicide fivefold, you know, because you can follow through with that thought. You know, when you're sitting there going, oh, what's it all worth? Oh. Anyways,
somebody turn that instant replay off.
See, if you didn't have that, if you didn't go, you know, if you didn't have the gun, you go, what's it all worth? No, I'm gonna have some ice cream because I can't. But see, if you have the gun, it's like, oh, what's it all worth? Maybe an ice cream will make me feel, you know what? Anyways. Oh, it's such a, the ricochet is brutal. I'm sorry. Maybe if I use the goofier one. Oh, what's it all worth? That's a little funny.
The ricochet.
The average total cost of one gun crime can be as high as $1.79 million. The average total of one? Okay, I get it. The study of all direct and indirect costs of gun violence, including medical, lost wages, and security costs, estimates that gun violence costs a nation $100 billion a year. The average total cost of one gun crime can be as high as $1.79 million, including medical treatment and the prosecution, imprisonment of the shooter. At least 80% of the economic costs of treating firearm industry injuries are paid for by taxpayer dollars. This is from the Brady Campaign website, www.bradycampaign.org. Which is, of course, Jim Brady.
Jim Brady, who was shot along with President Reagan back in 1981. And later this morning, we're going to be talking with Rich Cohen, who's the congressional reporter for the National Journal. He's been covering Congress for 30 years, and he knows exactly why this thing was allowed to lapse like this. He knows the politics of it.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary to think that different people can point fingers at each other. The executive branch, the legislative branch, and just have nothing happen and allow this thing to expire like this.
We got a guy on the phone who was shot, and we're going to talk to him after this on Air America Radio.
Oh. A bad vocabulary can sink you socially and professionally more quickly than bad breath. I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Million Dollar Vocabulary. If you fumble for the right words or use the wrong words, people make judgments about your background, your education, even your intelligence. Now, you can add hundreds of words to your vocabulary with Million Dollar Vocabulary, the cutting-edge learning system that teaches you how to lock words and their meanings into your memory so you can use them instantly and recall them for years. I can help you add hundreds of powerful words to your vocabulary, including words that are crucial for business success. It's fast, fun, and easy. You'll be amazed at the words you can use after 1 hour with Million Dollar Vocabulary.
Try Million Dollar Vocabulary risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-458-0599. 1-800-458-0599. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-458-0599.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good! Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the 2-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Yeah, we're talking about guns. Got a guy on the phone who was shot. When I was in high school in New Mexico, you know, there were guns pulled on me twice. I saw a guy's gun once. He showed me his gun in the bathroom. I wish I was kidding. And then some guy was waving a gun out of a car. My buddy Dave, his car got shot. There were guns all over the place. Anyways, Mark Maron here. That's Mark Riley. It's 18 past the hour. It's the morning edition of Air America. Here's Presidential Palm Pilot for today. Ramon came by waving a gun in celebration. He goes, here it is for today. I'm leaving. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. If Kerry wins, there will be more terrorist attacks and hurricanes. 11 a.m. fly to Muskegon, Michigan. Participate in a Focus on Health with President Bush event. Make sure it focuses on health and not health care policy. 11:30 a.m. wrap up Focus on Health with 5-minute presidential workout. Strip down to red, white, and blue spandex shorts and presidential seal t-shirt. 1:20 p.m. speak at rally in Holland, Michigan. Compliment the locals on their wooden shoes, windmills, and colorful tulips. 4:35 p.m. speak at rally, Battle Creek, Michigan. Be sure to tell voters that they're great. 6 o'clock p.m. while in Battle Creek, request closed-door meeting with Captain Crunch to discuss military policy. 10 o'clock p.m. back in Washington, lights out, dream of headline reading, quote, Dan Rather admits 9/11 commission report was also forged, end quote. Celebration. They're lifting the ban. Oh, man, I shouldn't do this right before I bring this guy on. It might give me, like, weird flashbacks. Mike in New Jersey, how are you, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, all man. Right. What's your story?
Well, first I want to say you guys are doing a great job, man, and I hope you guys stick around even after the election.
Thank you very much.
We're going to try.
About 2 years ago, I was it was a Friday night. I was on my way out to the supermarket to get some ice cream to watch a movie with my family.
Yeah.
And some guy got drunk in a bar, pulled out onto the road, and cut me off and didn't like that I didn't stop soon enough and decided to pull out a gun and shoot at me.
He shot at you because it was a traffic problem and he was wasted?
Right. He was all drunk in the bar, and they threw him out because he was causing trouble. And he was pissed off about it, so he was looking to take it out on somebody, so he picked me.
That's unbelievable. And how badly were you shot?
Well, the bullet, it was a hollow tip bullet. It came from a .44. Fortunately, it hit the car first before it hit me, so it fragmented.
Wow, and that's like a huge gun.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, Mike. So
just think Dirty Harry, that's what he had.
Yeah. So how do you feel about people owning guns after that experience?
Well, before that experience, I thought the government shouldn't be taking away my personal freedoms, and that was one of my personal freedoms. Although, freedom comes responsibility. You know, you have to think about this. It's like we're not allowed to drink and drive, right? We shouldn't be allowed to drink and shoot either.
And drive.
Good point.
Drink and shoot, right? And drive. Absolutely.
I'm sure if this guy was not drunk, he might have thought twice about it. And that's the problem, is when you got a gun in your hand and you're all wasted and you're not thinking about what you're doing, you're going to make a mistake and you're going to regret it.
Well,
man is in jail now.
Right. And theoretically, I mean, he was breaking the law by having a gun in his car.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so he was, you know, he was outside of the law all around. Now, do you own a gun? Did you own a gun before this incident?
I had not owned a gun. I never owned a gun, but it was just a personal opinion of mine that has now changed.
Oh, well, thank you very much for sharing that with us, Mike. I appreciate
your
calling.
Yeah, appreciate it. Wow.
Man, that's heavy, man.
From someone that actually got shot.
Yeah. Yeah, so wait, we got a trucker who's taking, is that a call you wanted to take or no? No? You want to talk to him?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
We can talk to him. Apparently, he's. Okay, let's talk to Paul. Paul, what are you doing out there?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's going on today, guys?
All right, how you doing?
I'm just following the long white line, riding the zipper, and watching for alligators.
Okay.
Okay.
So, what do you got to say about this gun issue?
Well, I didn't have anything to say about the gun issue. I've been taking a poll out here.
Yeah, I'm
asking
what?
People how they're going to vote.
Yeah, and what are you finding?
Well, if they know who they're going to vote for, I found that most people, it's almost split down the middle.
Oh, good.
But the other thing is, what I have run into is I've run into people that say they never voted before.
Yeah.
And they're voting this election. But I haven't run into one yet that said they're voting Republican.
Wow. Well,
really?
That's good. And we're trying to get people to register to vote. Thanks for taking that poll, Paul.
You know, it's funny. There's a primary, a congressional primary and state and local primary. It's coming up in New York tomorrow.
Oh.
And there are congressional seats. Obviously, the Democrats and Republicans nominate people to run in November.
Uh-huh.
And everyone expects the turnout to be very, very low.
Hmm.
Because it's been a very quiet campaign, with the exception of a couple of congressional districts.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't know about it until you just told me about it.
Really? Well, it's the day after Kalo's birthday.
Well, you know, this gun thing, and where was I just going to go in my head? That trucker guy, did you hear what he said at the beginning? I kind of missed it. Something about a zipper and alligators?
Yeah. I figured that was just like trucker talk.
Oh, well, I remember what I was going to say. It's very important that everybody register to vote and that get out and do it. Just even if you don't usually do it, even if you've never done it before, this is an important election. And if you don't have an opinion about who you think should win and you don't usually vote, I'll tell you what then. Register to vote and vote for Kerry. How would that be?
Yep. And we got a link to voter information and voter registration information on morningsedition.com.
Yeah, I think it's declareyourself.org, is it? .com, declareyourself.com. It's just very important because, you know, even if this electoral college vote goes south, you know, we got to have a guest on here to discuss this, and we're going to discuss the electoral college, how it came to be, how it can be rigged, why it's a little unfair. If the popular vote is undeniably in favor of Bush and of Kerry, and the electoral vote is in favor of of Bush. God forbid that happens. I'm hoping just a landslide for Kerry. But if the electoral vote hijacks the process again, you know, and the popular vote is big enough, maybe there'd be some real momentum. You know, some real...
Toward abolishing the Electoral College.
Yeah, I think so. But they would never have that. I don't want to go into that right now, but I'm just saying, I guess I'm reaching out to people to please register to vote, because I've been one of those people that wasn't registered, that didn't think voting mattered. It does matter. Even if your state is Democratic, even if you don't think your vote counts, it definitely matters to, you know, stand up and be counted in this thing.
John Kerry actually spoke to the Congressional Black Caucus, I believe, over the last couple of days, and mentioned that he believes that Florida is going to try and suppress the black vote yet again, which, of course, ended up in many people's minds tilting the state and then the election to George W. Bush in the first place.
Sure,
So there is the, you know, and we asked, I think, some months ago when we talked to some Democratic Party officials whether or not they were really prepared this time around with the kind of legal help and the kind of you know, support systems that the Republicans had in Florida to see to it that it doesn't happen again if they try it this time.
Well, Congresswoman Brown, right, that's her name, she wanted to actually have the United Nations come in.
Congresswoman Corrine Brown, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's heavy stuff. Like, this is a real issue. And then, you know, with the voting machines, I don't believe that Florida is using electronic ones, but just the whole issue of the recount and everything else has made that place so crazy and so paranoid, and so, like, they got to stay on top of this because they were using propaganda to coerce black voters, you know, taking not only the voting rolls, but apparently they were saying that, you know, if you have any outstanding warrants, they were putting up postings that were lies.
Yeah.
And discouraging people to vote and making them afraid.
And they were also setting up checkpoints in black neighborhoods and running people as they were driving to go to their polling place, have to produce driver's licenses, you know, a very heavy intimidation factor that went on. And we could well see that again, because we could well see an election that's close enough to be thrown to the Electoral College again.
Oh, man.
Although I don't think it's going to happen. I swear to God, Maren, I'm holding fast to my prediction.
Yeah, let's say it again. What's your prediction?
Kerry, 8 to 10 points.
There you go.
Now,
what?
I'm going down with this, and I could be on the Titanic here, but I believe that John Kerry will, in fact, pull this election out, and it's not going to be as close as the pundits say it is, because people are going to come out and vote in this election.
Right. Absolutely.
Turnout is the key. If
absolutely.
You have the turnout, John Kerry can win. Without the turnout, it helps George W. Bush.
Absolutely.
No two ways
can we
about.
Take a quick call? Yeah? Okay. Ralph in Miami, back to guns. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah. Hey, morning. Hey, I had a comment about the gun thing.
Yeah.
But first of all, I'm down in Miami, and I think you're perpetuating an urban myth that about these roadblocks. After the election in 2000, I called the DNC for Dade County, and I said, I'm a filmmaker, and I said, I want to get some of these people on camera. They couldn't give me any names of anybody who had been suppressed. So I didn't get the message.
That roadblock thing was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm saying it also led to that in Dade County that they were suppressing people and questioning them at the polls. And I asked for specific names so I could get these people on camera. They put me off. They couldn't come up with anybody. So I'd be careful about perpetuating that myth.
But wait a minute, just because they couldn't give you any names, the very people that may have participated in all of that didn't give you names doesn't mean it's mythology.
Yeah, no, it just means that they didn't want to give you the names.
Yeah, that would be my initial feeling, that's for sure.
So what do we got? We're going to stay on this gun issue because we got a guest coming up, right?
That's right. Congressional reporter Rich Cohen joins us to discuss the end of the assault weapons ban. The Presidential Daily Briefing and the Liberal Agenda are also on tap here on Air America Radio.
Are you a homeowner in need of a refi to pay off debt, strapped for cash, and need to lower your monthly payments? Save now before rates go back up. Even with less than perfect credit, you can still grab a great rate, even below 6%. That's right. If you own your own home, we can lower your monthly payments. Get cash in your hand, even if you have mortgage late or a past bankruptcy.
This is Jim Eichenbaum with Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. And even if you have less than perfect credit, we can still help you take advantage of rates less than 6%. So don't be misled by empty promises made by other lenders who keep asking for more time and paperwork. At Omega, there's no bait and switch, no upfront fees, just straight talk and honesty.
No need for mountains of documentation or tons of paperwork. We don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed. Just call 888-32-APPLY today. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. We specialize in refis for homeowners just like you. Call 888-32-APPLY right now and lower your monthly payment. Pay off debt, even get cash. Call 888-32-APPLY today. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by the Cal DRE, number 01411312. 888-32-APPLY.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. U.S. fighter planes attacked a suspected insurgent hideout in the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah, Iraq, on Monday, killing at least 16 people and wounding 12. The ban on assault weapons signed by President Clinton 10 years ago expires at midnight tonight. That makes gun owners happy and critics dismayed. The end of the ban on assault weapons comes as crime rates in the United States remained at their lowest levels in 30 years during 2003. That from the Department of Justice on Sunday. John Kerry is unveiling a $5 billion plan to fight crime, while he is at the same time criticizing President Bush for refusing to push for an extension of the ban on assault weapons. Bush is highlighting his health care agenda today as he campaigns in Michigan, a state he lost 4 years ago to Al Gore. And Hurricane Ivan is bearing down on western Cuba. It may spare the Florida Keys, but will probably make a landfall in the panhandle by Wednesday or Thursday. Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Both! Summer! Water! Fun!
Void or prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good! Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Jonah, a young listener, wants a cell phone, but he doesn't have a credit card. I'll tell him how after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Jonah wants a cell phone but doesn't want to have credit cards to do it.
I went to get a cell phone yesterday, and I went to a couple different places, and all of them are saying that if I don't have credit, I have to put down a $500 or $1,000 deposit. I don't have any credit cards.
I would put down the deposit, but I would demand that it be returned very quickly after 6 months of payments of doing it on time or something. No, I'm not going to suggest you go get a credit card or you go do something else just to have credit to not put down a deposit for a cell phone. But I am aware that most of them do require a pretty substantial deposit. There are a few cell phone companies, and Jordan, you might check into this, that will do a prepaid plan where monthly you prepay. The good thing about cell phones is that they're so competitive, I would play them all against each other, and I would keep shopping until I found someone would issue me one without a deposit or with a very low deposit or with a deposit that was returned back to you very, very quickly.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
Good morning. Tomorrow's edition, Air America Radio. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's now time to take a look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, "Holy crap, was that a mushroom cloud?" Mr. President, come to our attention that it might be time to start taking North Korea more seriously. They've sent a subtle message in the form of a mushroom cloud. We know you're not a big student of history, but several decades ago there was a similar cloud over the city of Hiroshima. We know because we were responsible for it. Somebody else was responsible for this one, and we don't think they're on our payroll. It was one of those axes of evil guys you used to harp about. Only this one isn't hiding in a spider hole with a beard full of lice. He's well-groomed and armed with nuclear weapons. We believe they're pointed at us. We think our policy of preemptive war may have gotten the North Koreans a little, shall we say, antsy. We suggest you open a dialogue with them, starting with the words, "Don't shoot!" Incidentally, Incidentally, we've already sent National Security Advisor Rice out to tell the press that the cloud might be from, quote, some kind of forest fire or something, end quote. We shot her cheeks full of Botox so she can keep a straight face. On an up note, we finally have found one of those weapons of mass destruction. Just wasn't exactly in Iraq. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Oh.
Oh, I just threw the wad of paper into the garbage and it hit one of the dropped lights here. What do you call those?
Lights?
Yeah, thanks, Riley.
I don't know.
Let's just call them Frankenlights.
Frankenlights.
The makeshift radio / TV studio. Hey, I hear our ratings were a .00002. That means my parents watched. Dead Air, very popular. I don't think I'm getting the voice quite right again, but, yeah. So, anyway, on the phone to address the lack of renewing of the ban on semi-automatic weapons, congressional reporter for the National Journal, he has covered Congress for 30 years, co-wrote the Almanac of American Politics, a complete guide to the 108th Congress. Rich Cohen is with us. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. So what's the story? Nobody tried to sponsor legislation to reenact this ban?
No, it's not true that it's nobody, but Carolyn McCarthy of Long Island, who's been a big supporter of the ban, has been working quite diligently to try to get a vote. She's a Democrat, and in the way Congress, the House of Representatives runs these days, Democrats don't have a lot of influence on the schedule. So the Republican Party, the majority leadership, the Republicans, they have not wanted to have any kind of vote, so there isn't any vote, and therefore the assault weapons ban that was enacted, I think, 10 years ago will expire today.
Now, Carolyn McCarthy, the congresswoman from New York, lost her husband, and her son was very critically injured.
Right.
During that shootout on the on a Long Island Railroad train some years ago.
Yes.
And has really been very strong on gun control. Is this in any way, shape, or form, Rich Cohen, the work of the National Rifle Association, these kinds of advocacy groups, or was this just a lack of effort on the part of Congress?
Yes and yes. The National Rifle Association strongly opposes renewal of the weapons ban. And actually, there was, to be fair, the issue did come up in the Senate earlier this year, and as often happens in the Senate, it got completely tied up in procedural shenanigans. At one point, there were, I believe, 52 votes to continue some form of assault weapons ban, but then it died because of the Senate first it said yes, and then it said no, and it left.
But who's responsible for that, Rich? I mean, who in the Senate was responsible for the shenanigans? Name names.
Well, it was Dianne Feinstein who wanted to continue with the ban.
Mm-hmm.
She got 52 votes, but then some senators, and I believe Tom Daschle, the Senate Minority Leader, a Democrat from South Dakota, was among those who then decided not to, having voted for the ban, I believe he was among those who voted not to approve the final passage. South Dakota, there are Democrats from states like South Dakota who believe that, who are not enthusiastic about taking on, who are reluctant to take on the National Rifle Association.
Well, it seems as though some Democrats believe that it's a killer issue for the party. I mean, there are people who estimate that Democrats lost 20 seats in Congress back in 94 when the ban first passed. Are they just blowing smoke on that?
No, they're not blowing smoke. It's certainly correct that the Democratic Party as a whole, has become very reluctant to take on the National Rifle Association as a general matter. That doesn't apply to all Democrats or many individual Democrats like Carolyn McCarthy, number one, and there are some issues that members, including some moderate Republicans, are willing to take on the gun control issues, and they're willing to take to challenge the NRA on some issues. But ever since 1994, when quite a few members of Congress were defeated because of their support of the weapons ban, Congress has become quite reluctant to take on these issues.
Hey, Rich, can I ask you a question? Ken Lay, creepy?
I've never met him.
Oh, just instinctively?
But he's not a Washington guy. He's a Houston guy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, another quick question. What's going on with the intelligence reforms? Anything?
Congress is going to work itself up into something of a lather, and is going to try to pass some form of changes in how the intelligence agencies operate. They're going to try to pass something before the election, and since the election's in 7 weeks, that would require Congress to get moving pretty fast. But the Republicans say they want to do it.
Well, that's good. I wonder if it's true or they're just paying lip service, and then eventually what will happen is Bush will say, well, we'll get that done if you reelect me. What do you think?
I think they'd rather, the Republicans at this point are saying that they really want to get it done, and they're working at it. And I think at the very least, they want to be in a position, and I think all sides, including the Democrats, want to be in a position to say, we tried and we did the best we could, but it was the other guy who's responsible for it not getting done, for the legislation not being passed. So, yes, there's a certain cynicism on the part, by a lot of the members of Congress on this and lots of other issues, but there's going to be a lot of work effort in the next few weeks to pass some of the recommendations in some form that were proposed by the 9/11 Commission, chaired by Tom Kaine and Lee Hamilton.
Okay, well, I made a mistake. I think I was thinking of someone else when I asked you about Ken Lay. I was thinking about
Tom Delay.
Tom Delay. Is he creepy?
Well, all the members of Congress are wonderful people, and I enjoy writing and dealing with them.
Nice work, Rich.
I slipped in. I was talking about the Enron guy, but what I meant.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, it seemed like it came out of nowhere, and I realized that who I was talking
also
about.
Also from Houston.
Yeah, that's why it all worked out in my head, and I'm like, wait a minute, I asked him about the wrong guy. So they're all wonderful people, and I understand that you have to keep a certain amount of integrity, and I will not question you again about that.
That's
all right, Rich Cohen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rich.
That was Rich Cohen, the congressional reporter for National Journal. I'm such an idiot. Like, I get things confused in my head. Of course I knew who I was talking about. 866-303-2270. Call us up if you think that the Congressman Delay is creepy. And Ken Lay, if you think he's creepy, call us up, too. They're both from Houston. Not everyone in Houston is creepy. I'm babbling. Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Sirius Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Sirius. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under Business Subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
There is no scientific evidence that use of one drug necessarily causes use of any other drug. Relieved? Well, here's a reality check. Among adolescents who use illicit drugs, such as cocaine and heroin, almost every one of them used marijuana first. Makes you think, doesn't it? Help our kids understand. For more information, call 1-800-729-6686.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dan.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That fills the loneliness when you really love you. It's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go?
Yes, Tom DeLay, Kenny Boy Lay. It's like I get some in my head, and it was like Lay, DeLay. You know, and I got the pictures of both of them. I know what they both do. I know who they both are. Yet I open my mouth, and stupid comes out. Mark Maron, right here on Air America Radio, Morning's Edition with Mark Riley.
Hey, don't worry about it, man.
Don't worry about
don't
it.
Don't worry
kidding?
About it, man.
No, I don't.
Okay,
oh,
worry about it, then.
I'm going to leave it in a note. Sorry. We're taking calls. 866-303-2270. What a morning it has been. Can I just read a quick John Kerry quote?
Certainly.
I think the president's unwillingness to walk away from those comments makes it clear that he and the vice president will say anything and do anything to get elected and to hold on to power. It was a shameful and outrageous effort. That's from the Time magazine interview, and I'm just reading it in my silly Kerry voice. But, you know, I've been in worse situations in my life. The attacks don't attack me as they attack Americans and America. They're trying to distract people from the real issues that matter. I'm just reading from the interview. It's not actually a speech, but I like it.
Now, that was in response to the Cheney attack that
exactly.
said essentially if you voted for Kerry, there'd be another terrorist attack.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what it's about. Yeah, it's a great interview, and you should read it. It's in the September 12th edition of Time magazine. I don't know why I have it with me right now, but I do. I'm looking if there's something else I can read. Enough. Let's take some calls. We've got people.
Yeah, now, give me back my pen, man. Don't think you're stealing my pen that my daughter gave me that glows in the dark.
You're right. I'm sorry.
See?
That's very nice, Mark.
Hey.
She's not Vivica, right?
Vivica, yes.
That's a very nice present. Sparrow in Wisconsin. Good morning, Sparrow.
Morning, Mark.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
What's on your mind, bro?
Well, I just feel like originally we were given the right to bear arms because the government was unrepresentative and that it was kind of...
just in case they turned on us.
Yeah, to back up our ballots with bullets. And
right.
If these bastards are going to steal the election again, I think it's good that we got the right to have...
Well, they're going to have to give us much bigger arms than that.
Wow, man. You sound like you're plotting a coup here.
They keep them on their toes, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying, but they're going to need to lift the ban on grenade launchers, yeah, RPGs.
Exactly. Well, you know what.
Tanks.
It's a start.
Yeah, I heard you can get a tank at a gun show now, though.
Yeah, right?
Take them off the VFW launch.
Thanks, Sparrow.
Hey, don't mock the VFW.
Nuts.
I know.
All right, let's talk to Teresa in Connecticut. Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, you guys are fantastic.
Oh,
and don't
you.
Worry about the lay boys, they're both awful.
He lay bad.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, when I was in college, one of my best friends, her niece, who was blind and retarded, blew her head off with her father's gun.
Oh, my
her
God.
Father was a taxi driver in New York City.
Really?
And he was, you know, worried, you know, for his protection, he carried a gun. And one night he came home and he just sat it on the table, wasn't thinking. And she picks it up and she's feeling it and sniffing it and stuff and blew her head off.
Oh, my God.
And it seems like, you know, a lot of people seem to think, you know, this is for their protection. But you so often hear about, like, families, you know, where somebody, some kid accidentally gets it and something like this happens. Or the gun's used on them by somebody who breaks in who didn't have one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. It's a magnet for problems, a gun. Yeah. I appreciate your call, Teresa. Thanks a lot.
Teresa.
Oh,
you know, I mean, if we have people here in New York are mourning two detectives who were shot and killed here in Brooklyn over the past weekend. Now, this was a situation where somebody actually disarmed an officer, according to the reports I've seen, and shot the cops with, you know, one officer's gun. But I mean, it is amazing the kinds of situations that people find themselves in, and you know. So many gun owners that I've talked to over the years, Mark, say, look, I'm a responsible guy. I lock it away. I put it under lock and key. You know, my kids know not to touch it. You know, when you're a kid, you want to touch everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You really want to be able to find out where, you know, where it is or how. And you read these stories about kids who have gone into lock boxes, figured out how to get the guns out.
Yeah.
Experiment, and next thing you know, there's tragedy.
It's awful, and it happens so often if there is a gun in the house. We got a call from Chris in Houston, Texas. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Chris? Yeah, you there? No? I hear
somebody.
Yeah. Hello,
yeah,
Chris?
What?
Chris?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Well, your producer said make it quick, so I will. Time delay is creepy. I know firsthand. I had to sit on an airplane with him all the way from Washington to Houston. And right next to me, it was the worst day of my life. To talk to me, and I told him I didn't want to talk to him, and he got real mad. So he's creepy. Don't let anybody fool you. He's real creepy.
Thanks, Chris.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
It's amazing what, you know, an airplane flight will do for someone's perception of a public figure like Tom
Delay. Oh, my God. Could you imagine sitting next to him?
No.
I would try to get him going and just talking about some stuff that, you know, he wouldn't usually talk about. Maybe, you know, buy him a couple of drinks, start talking about the rapture. Anyway. we'll be back in a second here on Air America Radio.
Candidate for governor Dickie Pillager has a message for you, the voter.
I always turn to nature to make sense of the world, but our environment is under siege. Under siege, under fire.
Cut!
Under attack.
Dickie, it's endangered.
He's got big ideas about the environment.
Have to get our priorities straight. The whole environmental arena, that's a priority.
Richard Dickie Pillager on law enforcement.
Frontier justice. All you needed was a good strong rope and a tree to hang it from.
Social issues.
Organizations formed to help these things will be happy to pitch in if only government would get out of their way.
Cooking.
If you're going to have a front burner, which is where you want your priorities, it's like cooking.
Finally, a candidate with all the right answers. Finally, a candidate with a vision for America. In the new movie from acclaimed director John Sayles, Silver City, rated R for language, starts Friday in select cities.
Harry.
Oh, well, Sean Hannity.
This is Addict Anonymous. How can I help you?
Well, I'm addicted to Sean Hannity.
Sir, Sean Hannity.
I got a big problem. I'm listening to him on Sirius ABC News and Talk, and then...
Sir.
I listen at night to Hannity and Combs on Fox News, and then on the weekends, I catch repeats of the shows.
Sir, listening to Sean Hannity is not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Sirius Satellite Radio has all the Sean Hannity you need to feed your addiction. Catch him on ABC News and Talk 140 and Fox News 105.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, It was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Soon, all over-the-counter medicines will have one thing in common. Simplicity. That's because all over-the-counter medicines will feature new, easier-to-read labels that clearly show their ingredients, uses, warnings, and directions. Because if there's one symptom we all want to relieve, it's confusion. For more information, call the Food and Drug Administration at 1-888-INFO-FDA. That's 1-888-INFO-FDA. The new label. It's clearly better.
Yes, yes, we're coming in for landing with some Van Halen! Woo!
George W. Bush. Now, what do you think that W stands for? That W stands for wrong. Wrong direction. Wrong choices. Wrong priorities. Wrong judgment for our country.
Man, I've been reading over this interview in Time Magazine with John Kerry, and it's great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I had arguments with people. You know, the whole idea, I don't know how anybody can defend this president on defense, on the economy, on almost anything. And the bulk of the people that believe in Bush are too afraid to choose differently, even though a guy who has had war experience, a guy who has, you know, had to make split-second decisions under fire, a guy who has legislated, you know, his entire political career for people. He was a prosecutor. He was the first dude to get the whole Iran-Contra thing rolling. I just don't understand how people can be that frightened to keep the guy that blew it, you know, in office.
Because he's been telling America that he didn't blow it, and for some reason, America has bought his cons, and it may just be because he keeps repeating it over and over and over again.
There are military people, plenty of them.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
I just wish some
more. It's a failed presidency, Mark. By any objective indicator, it's a failed economy. The economy, health care, you know, the war in Iraq, the war on terror, national security, it is all a failure, but he keeps telling everybody, telling the country, I am successful. I am doing what you elected me to do.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
It baffles me. Like, I'm so excited that, you know, we have this option. I think John Kerry will change the tone of culture. He'll do things in a way that is much more, you know, diplomatic and humane than George Bush. I just believe that. A lot of people are like, they're both the same. You know, I don't think so.
Mm.
I just don't think so. This president is very, very threatening to the world and to democracy. Well, there you go. A little high-handed preaching at the end. Here we go. I feel weird even when I talk with that tone. Here's your liberal agenda. Recycle whenever possible. Don't forget to recycle the same old liberal cliches. 2, buy an assault rifle and beat it into a plowshare. But first, find out what a plowshare looks like. 3, forge another document for Kerry. 4, just in case the human gestation period becomes significantly longer, legalize abortion in the 4th and 5th trimesters. That's a long time. 5, phrase for the day, just drop it into conversation anywhere. Have you noticed that hurricanes with men's names cause more domestic violence? Tough crowd tonight. I think I'll be funny.
All right.
I feel kind of funny.
Ah, bet on it.
All right.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, Secretary of State Colin Powell is now calling it genocide. So what is President Bush doing about it? We'll focus on the Sudan on tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Good day, Maren.
See you later, Riley.